एवं विश्वपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर शत श्री श्रीमान अभय शरणारविंद भक्त वेदांत गोस्वामी महाराज शील प्रभुपाद की जय। एवं नित्यलीला प्रविष्ट विश्वपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर शत श्री श्रीमान भक्त सिद्धानंद सरस्वती महाराज शील प्रभुपाद की अनंतकोटि वैष्णव वृंद की नामाचार्य शील हरिदास ठाकुर की प्रेम सहो श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधार श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद की श्री श्री राधा कृष्ण गोप गोविनाथ श्यामकुंड राधाकुंड गिरिगोवर्धन की वृंदावन धाम की मायापुर धाम की मधुरपुरी धाम की जगन्नाथपुरी धाम की द्वारकापुरी धाम की गंगमाई की यमुनमाई की तुलसी देवी की भक्ति देवी की सामवेद भक्त वृंद की गौर प्रेमानंदे। ऑल ग्लोरीज टू असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज, ऑल ग्लोरीज टू असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज, ऑल ग्लोरीज टू असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज, ऑल ग्लोरीज टू श्री गुरु एंड श्री गौरंग, ऑल ग्लोरीज टू श्रील प्रभुपाद। नमाम विष्णुपदाय कृष्ण प्रस्थाय भूतले श्रीमदे भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी नामिनि नमस्ते सरस्वती देवी गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देशधारिणे। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम पार्थाय प्रतिबोधिदां भगवदां नारायणेन स्वयं व्यासेन ग्रथितां पुराण मुनिनां मध्ये महाभारतं अद्वैतामृतवर्षिणी भगवती अष्टादशाध्यायिनीं अम्ब त्वा मनसंददामि भगवद्गीते भवद्वेषिणी। नमोस्तु ते व्यास विशाल बुद्धे फुल्लारविन्दायुध पत्रनेत्र येन त्वया भारत तैल पूर्ण प्रज्वालितो ज्ञानमय प्रदीप प्रपन्न पारिजाताय स्तोत्रवेत्रैकबाणये ज्ञानमुद्राय कृष्णाय गीतामृत दुहे नमः। सर्वोपनिषदो गावो दुग्धा गोपाल नंदन पार्थो वत्स सुदीर्भोक्ता दुग्धं गीतामृतं महत् वसुदेव सुदं देवं कंसच्चानूरमर्दनं देवगी परमानंदं कृष्णं वंदे जगद्गुरुं। भीष्मद्रोणतटा जयद्रुतजला गांधार नीलोल्पल शल्यग्राहवती कृपेणोहिनी कर्णेन वेलाकुल अश्वत्थामा विकर्ण घोरमकर दुर्योधनावर्तिनी सोतीर्ण खलु पांडवैरण नदी कैवर्तक केशव पाराशर्यवज सरोजमलम गीतार्थगंधोत्कटम नानाख्यानक केसरम हरिकथा संबोधनाभोदितं लोकै सज्जन शल्पदैरहरह पेबीयमानं मुदा भूयान् भारत पंकज कलिमलं प्रध्वंसिन श्रेयसे। मूकं करोति वाचालं पंगुं लंघयते गिरिं यत्कृपातमहं वंदे परमानंदमाधवं यं ब्रह्मा वरुणेन्द्र रुद्रमरुदस्त्वन्वन्दि दिव्यैस्तवैर्वेदैः सांगपदैर्क्रम उपनिषदैर्गायन्ति यं सामगाः ध्यानावस्थित तद्गदेन मनसा पश्यन्ति यं योगिनो यस्यान्तं न विदुसुरा सुरगणैः देवाय तस्मै नमः। सर्वत्र गोविंद नाम संकीर्तनम् गोविंद गोविंद। दिस चैप्टर श्रद्धात्रय विभाग योगम हियर। Generally, people think Shraddha means, in the English translation, is faith, isn't it? Faith is the word they use. But it's really much more than that. Faith, it is faith, but it's also intelligence. It's not just faith only. It is the will that is power that is inside us, that wakes up the willpower, right? And it is almost close to realization itself, this willpower or Shraddha, what it means. Acharya Swami says that this is a strange power that arises in a person who is doing sadhana, which makes him attain self-realization the moment he meets his right person to instruct him, the guru. That's how strong it is, this thing called Shraddha. So Shraddha is that force inside us which prepares us almost ready for self-realization, provided he meets up the right guru in front of him, and when he gives the instructions to the Mahavakyam, Aham Brahmasmi, immediately or Tattvamasi, it immediately has its effect on that person. He is ready for it, in other words. So Shraddha is that power. That's why it is so important in this chapter, this 17th chapter, power of Shraddha. There are many stories centered around this to talk about how Shraddha works. Once there was this spiritual master of the current Acharya in Sringeri. His name was Abhinav Vidyadutta. He was very well known at that time. He's well known in the sense with high realizations he was. Everyone knew that. And while he was traveling once in a village, the village people wanted to receive him nicely and arrange for his to stay in a particular place. They made a rich person to vacate his house for a few days for him to stay, and so that he could stay in that house. So Abhinav Vidyadatta and his followers, they all came from Sringeri. They were walking. They didn't travel by car or anything. They just walked from place to place. So when they got there, the local people told him that we have arranged this place for you to stay. So he went there, and then along with all his people, and they went inside. Something made him to think that he doesn't want to stay there. He felt that way. Then he looked around, and there was a servant's quarter. The rich man had a, you know, how it is in India, they have the, so it's not like here. So servant's quarter was there, and the person who was his servant, they temporarily vacated him from there, because when Swamiji is staying there, he didn't want any interference from anyone. So they told him also to move from temporarily for a few days away from the servant's quarters. Swamiji went around and he went into the servant's quarters he saw there. When he got inside there, he suddenly felt something and he said to them, I will stay here in these quarters, he said. So they told him that this is a servant's quarters, you should be staying in the other one. He said, no, I am staying here, he said. So they asked him, and yes, he said to them, who is staying here then? He said, there is one servant who stays here. And he said, can you call him then? So they called him and he came in, right? So he asked him, are you a sadhaka? Do you do sadhana? He said. I don't know whether I'm a sadhaka or not. I'm always chanting the holy name, he said. He said, its effect is there, he said, in the room. Its effect is presence there, the chanting of the holy name. Because he was chanting continuously. He said, whenever I get time, I just chant, he said. So he was chanting like that, and the effect of that chanting was felt by Abhinav Vidyadatta in the room. You see how sensitive they are to such things. They know where there is Sattvagunam, where there is Rajogunam, where is Tamogunam. He was so sensitive to such things. So many things spoken about him like that. He said that I'm going to stay here, he said. It suits me, he said. And he stayed in that servant's quarters for the few days when he had been there. That's how it is. This is the power of that Shraddha Shakti. When it wakes up inside, you become very sensitive to all the environments very strongly. How the environments are. You will be immediately, repulsion will happen if you go to a place of Rajogunam or Tamogunam. Whereas in Sattvagunam, you will get attracted to stay there. So, this is one instance. So, similarly, there are many, many stories like that. But the thing is that Krishna is saying here, we spoke about yesterday, prasadam and then yajnam, two things. Right? Now, from now on, Krishna is going to talk about the tapasya. What is tapasya means, right? So, 13 verses we have seen in this chapter, Shraddhatra Vibhaga Yogam. So, yajnam that we discussed here today, and then initially we spoke about ahara shuddhi of eating. Aharam is also a tapasya, then yajnam is a tapasya. All these are meant for chitta shuddhi, for purification inside, right? somehow or the other, in order to do sadhana, adhyatma sadhana, or spiritual practice, whether it may be anything, bhakti yoga or raja yoga or jnana yoga, whatever it may be, the purpose of all these different yoga processes is chitta shuddhi at the end, to purify ourselves, right? So, actually speaking, there is no thing called jnana yogam. There is only jnanam exists there, right? Jnanam is not a practice as such, but it happens instantaneously provided chitta shuddhi has happened to a person. If chittam has become purified, then immediately you can experience the effect of jnanam, right? So, just like the way it works is that, suppose eyesight is not there, if I don't have the eyesight, even if the sun is there in the sky, I won't be able to see anything. If my eyesight is gone, then what can you do, right? Similar, and if the eyes have got, say, cataract or something and it's operated, after that, if I will be able to see the sun itself with my own eyes, right? So, similarly, chitta shuddhi is like that. That is the way chitta shuddhi is. Chitta shuddhi is something we have to understand properly. What does it mean, right? So, you will see in the Bhagavadam, Ekadasha Skandam, Krishna mentions this. Who says this? Pipalayana Maharshi, quote in Naminava Yogi conversation. In that Pipalayana Maharshi says, the 40th verse, there's five verses, six verses in that. Pipalayana Maharshi spoke. Pipalayana Maharshi said, Yarhi, abjanaba charane shanayoru bhaktya, eshanayoru bhaktya, cheto malani vidamit guna karma jani, tasmin vishuddham upalabhyatam atma tattvam sakshadyata amaradrisho savidra prakasha. This is exact this definition of chitta shuddhi. Chitta shuddhi means this. Yarhi abjanaba charane shanayoru bhaktya, cheto malani vidamit guna karma jani, tasmin vishuddham upalabhyatam atma tattvam sakshadyata amaladrisho savidra prakasha. A very way, beautiful way of saying that. So, tasmin vishuddhe, Krishna, Pipalayana Maharshi is saying there that if chitta shuddhi has happened to someone, ubalabhyadam alpa tattvam, tattvajnanam, knowledge of the self will automatically come to him. If chitta shuddhi happens in a person. Right? So, so that's what he is saying here. Yad ahyabjanam charanai shanayoru bhaktiya, Uru Bhaktiya, he says there. Uru Bhaktiya. When bhakti becomes very strong inside, that's called Uru Bhaktiya. Uru Bhaktiya means strong bhakti inside, right? And that means in Krishna or in the bhakti sadhana, one has to have eshana. You see what he is saying there? Yarhyabjanava charanai eshana yoru bhaktiya. That eshana. Eshana is required. Now, normally you will use that word for material things, mundane things. Eshanatrayam, they call it, right? So, eshana, what that means is, in material life, if you have attachment, that's what they call dharyeshana, putreshana, vitteshana, logeshana. These are all different types of eshana in us. Attachment to wife, attachment to children, attachment to wealth, attachment to name and fame. All these are eshana. The word eshana is normally used in that sense, mundane sense, right? That's why eshanatrayam they call it, right? So, to the extent one has strong attachment to wife, children, family, all these things, to that extent, in a similar way, if that attachment that comes to Krishna, towards Krishna, then that is what he is referring to here. Pipalayana Maharshi is saying, that eshana, when strong bhakti comes to Krishna, in that case, that means that he is not able to, he is not anymore attracted to this world, worldly matters, worldly topics, no interest to him. And in the similar way, you got very attracted to Krishna and Krishna's teachings and Krishna's holy name, Krishna's pastimes, everything related to Krishna. If one gets attracted to that, and feels intense separation from Krishna because of that attachment, and when that meditation becomes very strong, That is what is called this Eshana here. Bhagavad Eshana. Eshana towards Krishna. Right? Otherwise, we will say Putreshana, Viteshana, Logeshana, Dareshana, like that. Right? So when that attachment to seriousness in Krishna consciousness or the serious interest in Krishna and what Krishna is saying and started becoming attached to it so strongly that then one becomes all the time thinking about what Krishna has spoken and it starts flowing like a meditation inside, then what is called Uru Bhakti, what he is saying there. Uru Bhakti means the non-stop flow of thoughts of Krishna and Krishna's instructions inside, right? If that is happening, what that means is Chitta Shuddhi has come. That's the way it is understood. If that way continuation of Krishna inside flowing through all the time, that means that Chitta Shuddhi has come to that person, right? So, and in such a chittam, or when one has come to that level, then if he hears this Vedanta Shravanam from the Guru, right, or he is becoming a candidate for receiving Krishna's mercy, in other words, Krishna will give him proper salsangam. Proper salsangam, he will get it at that time. And that is the experience of all the great devotees. They will say this openly. They will admit that. That is when you get that proper salsangam. Proper salsangam means to meet up with a realized person and because of the purification inside gets totally attracted to what that person says, will completely go inside. Yeah. So the example of that is Muchukunda in the Bhagavatam. What Muchukunda said, if you look at Muchukunda's study, Muchukunda said to Krishna the same thing. Muchukunda says to him, Bhavava Vargo Brahmado Yada Bhavel Janasya Darhyachuda Salsamagamam Salsangamo Yarhi Tadeva Salgado Paravareshe Tui Jayate Mati Bhavava Vargo Brahmado Yada Bhavel Janasya Darhyachuda Salsamagama Salsangamo Yarhi Tadeva Salgado Paravareshe Tui Jayate Mati. This verse in the Muchukunda study is very important because Krishna came to the cave and Muchukunda woke up and he saw Krishna in front of him and then offered obeisances to Krishna. And Krishna asked him, "Who are you? Why are you here?" Krishna knew everything, but still he was asking, "Who are you?" He said, so that's when he answered this question. Bhavaba vargo brahmade yada bhavel janasya darhi achyuta sal samagami salsangamoyarki tadaiva salgadav paravareshe tui jayate mati. So, what he said was, I got this salsangam, salsangam with Krishna, in other words. I got this salsangam, he says, and because the time has come for me to come out of this samsaram, material existence, I become free from samsara, material existence. So, Muchukunda is saying to Krishna that the time has come for me to free myself from this samsaram and therefore I have got this salsangam. Pointing out to Krishna, Muchukunda is saying this, right? So, when the time has come for bhakti to Krishna, salsangam has come to him, he got the profit of having salsangam, right? So very easily the mind got attracted to Krishna in the holy name and everything what is necessary for self-realization will happen at that moment. They will say this example, just like you are searching for a garland, what is on your neck, you are searching for that. In the same way only, actually we are inquiring about the soul. Soul is already inside. But not knowing about it due to our ignorance, right? And we don't even know that we are that soul. To that extent, we are stuck in this body. We don't even know that we are that soul. But unfortunately, we lost that identity and we have identified with this body so strongly. And we are inquiring something in this world, thinking that this will make me happy, that will make me happy, right? Ultimately, the spiritual master or the guru says to you that the thing what you are after, what you are looking for, is already inside you, and that's your identity. This is self-realization, right? Tattvamasi, what they call it as, right? So, this is the reason why it is shown here. Guru is sometimes called as Deshika. That's another word used, right? So, with that Deshikas, with his mercy, our Shraddha actually goes away from the world and gets established in the self, in the Antaryami, right? Just like we recognize the chain in the neck, which I was searching everywhere, I couldn't find it, but I was already having it in my neck. In the same way, our real identity, Antaryami, it's inside us. And when, with the mercy of the Deshika or Guru, what happens is, our attention falls on that Antaryami. Yeah. So, sometimes that is called as Pratyabhijna. Another word used in the Shastram is Pratyabhijna, right? So, when the Chittam becomes pure, Chittashuddhi happens, knowledge of the Self will be there, right? All Adhyalpa Sadhana, all kinds of Sadhana, whether it is Karma Yogam, all is for this Chittashuddhi only, just to get the Chittashuddhi, right? What is that make this Chittam Ashuddhi? What that makes impure our Chittam? Basically, the world outside, external things, right? So, that's one. Then, Ragadvesham. Then, also this desire for results from the karma. Selfishness, selfish interest. I'm doing some karma, I should get the results from that. All these things actually destroys Chittam. It makes a Chittam very impure, right? So, purifying that Chittam from these things, Ragadvesham, this Aham Mama, me and mine, these are all impurities inside us. And when they all leave us, then Chittashuddhi has come. Chittashuddhi will happen, right? So, continuous chanting of the holy name, they are saying that it will purify Chittam. Continuous chanting of the holy name, right? So, Mahaprabhu said that, isn't it? Cheto darpanam arjanam. What? The Cheto darpanam arjanam is Chittashuddhi. Nothing but Chittashuddhi it is. Chedo darpanam arjanam, what the beginning of the Shikshashtakam, the first verse itself. What it means is Chittashuddhi, basically. So, Chetasa means, you're wiping out a mirror which is full of dust, right? Just like you see your reflection in the mirror, very clearly, with a clear mirror. In the same way, when Chittam becomes purified, then Atma Darshanam, the realization of the soul, will happen. Now, when we say like this, people think, misunderstand sometimes. Misunderstanding is this, that in the this process doesn't change, whether you are going through Advaitam, Dvaitam, Vishishtadvaitam, or whatever it is, or Jnana Yogam, Karma Yogam, Bhakti Yogam, whichever way it is, it's the same. People misunderstand sometimes that chanting the holy name is an easier process. It is not exactly like that. Chanting also has to advance a lot. Just like you have difficulty with all other bhakti process, Shravanam, Kirtanam, Smaranam, Salsangam, everything can help in this direction. But chanting of the holy name is easier only because it has no much rules and regulations, not much restrictions on that. Like Krishna said in the Bhagavad Gita, isn't it? Yajnanam javayajnosmi, he said. The only beauty of chanting of the holy name is you don't have to be worried about the place, the situation, everything. You can chant anywhere, anytime. So free that is. But it will take time. It's not going to happen overnight. People want the easy route always. Naturally, everybody likes an easy path. Who wants to go through all the trouble if you can get it done easily, right? But chanting also does require a lot of effort to do it regularly for a long period of time, right? So chanting of the holy name is a good sadhana for that purposes, right? So, Adhyalpa Yogam, what Krishna is saying, Adhyalpa Yogam means that to prepare the whole life to mature the body and the mind and our speech, everything. This is what Adhyalpa Yoga means. Adhyalpa Yoga means preparing this body, the mind and the speech, all of them, right? So, normally we are, our attention is all in the world outside, in different sense objects, and our planning for happiness in this world constantly going on inside, right? Withdrawing the mind from that and keeping the mind attached to the Antaryami inside, that's called Adhyatma Yogam. Yeah. So, but before that happens, Chitta Shuddhi has to happen. That's the way it is. Yeah. So, and for that Chitta Shuddhi, tapas is required. This is the Vaidika system. Vaidika system is like that, right? Tapasya means, sometimes when you say tapasya, immediately your mind will go into Hiranyakashipu or somebody who has done severe penances, isn't it? Standing in one leg, or Dromara's 6 months penances, all that. That will come to your mind straight away, right? So, Hiranyakashipu stood inside the fire and performed penances. That strength of tapasya inside, right? So, different people get different impression about tapasya, right? So, you see that word letter tapa, you turn the letters the other way. Tapa becomes pata, is it not? Tapa. When Krishna met Brahma first time, what did he say? Tapa tapa, he said. Tapa tapa. So, that is the instruction from Krishna himself. He's saying tapasya. Tapasya is the main thing. Tapa tapa, he told Brahma. So if you turn this letter tapa, it becomes pata. Pata means fallen down. You're fallen. That state is called pata. Patanam, what they call it as. Patanam means fallen situation. So from there to wake up, you have to change the other way. Tapa tapa, waking up, right? So in our present situation, whatever that will elevate us in our spiritual situation, wherever, everybody is in different levels of spirituality, isn't it, in this world. Everybody is in different state of spirituality. So from that situation, how to elevate further from there? And you have to start from where we are at, each one of us. Where we are at, from that state you have to begin, from there, right? So how is that possible? Whichever way that is possible, right? For example, Salsangam is a tapasya, right? Shravanam is a tapasya, right? But even if it is so, even if it is like that, our daily life is very important, more than anything else. The daily practices. Remember I mentioned this before. In the modern education system, they give importance to the passing the final test and getting the certificate. Vedic education is not like that. They don't put you through an examination. They will observe you for 8 years how you were in your daily practices. They gave importance to Nityanushtanam. Nityanushtanam it is called. Daily what you are doing, that's what is important. More than whether you pass the test at the end or not, that is no criteria for them. Nityanushtanam is more important than anything else, right? So, just like you may listen to Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam for a few hours in a weekend or something, right? But Nityanushtanam is more important, and therefore, in the olden days, those people, they will not make any compromise on that, on their daily practices, because that's what matters really, right? Nityanushtanam, Deva Puja, Sandhyavandanam, Swadhyayam, Gita Parayanam, all these things, they gave importance to that. They gave importance to that. On a daily basis, what you do at home, in life, that's what. Their lifestyle was such, after they have completed all these things only, they will think about family and family life and other things. Priority was this Nityanushtanam, daily what you do at home, right? So, waking up early in the morning, bathing in the river, Sandhyavandanam, Anushtanam, Yoga Vasadhana, all this is, these are all Nityanushtanam, right? Everyday life, in other words. Everyday life, what you do, right? So, on a single day, right? Everybody takes whatever little they can do, whatever that is possible for them. Serious people will have plenty of time for that. They will do that, right? So, if it is done like that, sadhana, on a daily basis, then life will become very fruitful in many ways, right? So what one has to do is, at least before retirement, now our life is all gone now. It's almost coming to an end, isn't it? So when we talk about Nityanushtanam now, what can be done? So before retirement happens, if you start doing this as much as possible, right, then when you retire, you will feel very good. When you retire, you will feel good. Why is that? Mind is waiting for that opportunity. I become free from all these problems of this world. Had enough of this. I become free now. That feeling gives you a big relief, right? So, and the mind is waiting for that. Now that I have more time to read Bhagavad Gita or Bhagavatam, and similarly to chant the holy name, going for Salsangam, all these things become much more favorable then. By then you have already, your mind is ready for it. Whereas if you keep thinking that, oh, I'll do it all this, after retirement I'll think about it, it won't happen. Way before the retirement, because everybody is caught up in life in one way or the other. So before the retirement, way before that, one should prepare one's mind for this opportunity. After retirement, at least whatever few years left in this world, able to utilize it properly with Nitya Anushtanam, daily Anushtanam. After that, no more wasting time with family and friends and society and all these things. Once for all, you have to withdraw from that. Because that is the last phase of the life. So, that is why it is said that you will see in the world also two kinds of people. Some people, they will chant holy name, they will chant all the time. Others, they will look for enjoyment all the time. Both type of people you will see in this world. So the benefit of tapasya, this is what he is saying here. What you are achieving everyday basis, that's not important, right? The important thing is this. If you give a gap in life, after the working life is over, then you are getting a gap there. And if you give that gap for something else, many people have this concept, isn't it? They worked, they made a lot of money probably, good pension pot or what they call it, this is all there. They'll be planning how many holidays I could go, cruise, and so many other things. People have all these strange ideas in their head, right? But if such thoughts are built up inside, of enjoyment inside, then when after retirement, the mind will go in that straight away. It's gone then, finished. So that is why, before retirement, a few years or as early as possible, this Nityanushtanam is important in life. Even if you have to do work in the world, if you have followed this Nityanushtanam, the benefit is that when you retire, when you become free from all the entanglements, your mind will naturally pull you into the spiritual direction, instead of going towards the material life. Whereas if throughout life, if you are thought about enjoying life after retirement, then what will happen? After retirement, you'll become worse then. There's no chance of spiritual life. It's gone. The life is over then. So that is why the importance of Nityanushtanam. Nityanushtanam prepares a person and keeping him ready for the retirement. So the moment you retire, you feel inside a great relief that now you have time. That's the only thing what we have after retirement, the time. So that the mind is able to adjust with spiritual life, right? So, otherwise, what all other things will take over? Mobile phones and mobile. Mobile is enough, isn't it? And you won't have the strength to work against that, right? So, there's a saying in English, isn't it? Resist not evil. There's a saying, resist not evil, right? So, because these negative forces, if you try to fight against that, and it is like Bali and Sugriva. Bali was like that, wasn't it? So, whenever you fight with Bali, what happens is, all your strength will go to Bali. Bali becomes stronger. It is the same way, right? So, instead of giving time for that, you got to prepare in the daily life, practicing it on a daily basis, as much time as possible, so that when you, one day or the other, you'll become free from all the entanglements in life. Children will be gone, they'll be gone, and you are left on your own. And nothing in this world is asking you to do anything. So at that time, the mind should agree, otherwise you won't be able to do anything. So in order that the mind to come in agreement with you, Nityanushtanam is important. It is for that purpose Nityanushtanam, right? Otherwise it will come, and even that gap time, when it comes, if anything comes, you will not be affected by that. Yeah? So whatever time we get, japam, dhyanam, puja, and not too much gossip, and in this way training our mind, that is tapas. Everything that is favorable to make the mind to agree with you, that's called a tapas, to go along with you, for to your desire. Mind agrees with you, right? So, so a great personality used to say like that, every day, at least for some time, spend that time not being useful to anyone, right? It should not be useful for you, or it should not be useful for anyone else, in the sense that creating a gap in life. You see, normally people are in this world busy, working, running here, running there. There's something inside them telling them that I have to do this, I have to do that. Because there's something they're expecting from that, is it not? So, that mind that I need something from this world, and dragging, pulling us into that way, mind, to become free from that, that problem. Yeah, I don't need anything from this world. This is why, in the olden days, what they used to do was, people who have retired, they'll come to the temple and they will circumambulate in the temple as many times as possible, without any motive behind that. Yeah. So the reason was that people will ask the question, what do you get going on round and round and round like this? What do you get from that? They'll say, so that I don't get anything, not want anything. Because in our mind it is a very strong thing. I do this, I should get this result. This feeling like that. You are doing something, I want it return. In return I should get. This is very ingrained inside us because of this karmam. Karmam has done this to us. To become free from that, I don't want anything. For that, you have to create this mindset inside. Right? So, every time when you do something, you're thinking, what will I get from this? What will I get from that? That kind of thing, right? What we have to remember is, because we kept getting it like this, that's why we become here like this. The way we are here now, in this body, is because of this connection. That getting something, all the time, right? So, so tapasya means that three things Krishna has spoken here in three verses. Shariram, body, then vachikam, words, and then the mind, manasa, right? So, visiting the temple, kshetra darshanam, that is a tapasya, right? So many great rishis have built so many great temples all over Bharata Bhumi. They have built those temples, right? And isolated places where you could go and take shelter. Take shelter means that able to move away from home and spend some time there in those temples. That was the purpose, right? So all the temples, almost all the temples in Bharata Bhumi, not the modern ones I'm talking about, the ancient historic places, they were all built by the rishis. Rishis in their travel, they have inspired the population, and population looked their help and they installed the deities. Every old temples you go into the villages and look, you will find that there was some great rishi behind it. Some yogis or jnanis or great devotees, someone will be there behind that. Yeah. So that is why that is called a tapobhumi, tapas for that purpose, right? So going there, circumambulating, offering obeisances to the deity, all this is tapas, right? At least during that time, you break away from home. This connection with the home is very strong, isn't it? Remember what Rishabhadev said? Yeah. So he says very strongly in that connection with the strong connection with the home. So at least at that much time, disconnected from home, and freedom from this television and mobile and all that, right? So you can take chanting beads to the temple. You can take Bhagavad Gita to the temple. You shouldn't take mobile phone to the temple. But what do you see now? They think this is the right place. Now I got some free time to surf or look into the mobile phone. They come and sit there with the mobile phone doing this inside the temple. So the purpose is defeated then. Purpose is defeated, right? So at least for some time, you break away from all your bad habits. Attachment to home, attachment to all the other things in this world. Kshetra Darshanam is very good for that. Kshetram helps you for that. And that is a tapasya. Able to live without any of these things. Completely free from everything, right? That means able to live without getting anything. Mobile phone also is, you're getting something out of it, some kick from that. So that's where you're looking at it, right? So, so that's what... So simple physical spiritual practices. And along with that, also one is required is that with the body, the mind also should be there. But even if the mind is not agreeable, with the body you should do it. That's the rule. Even if the mind is not agreeing, the body should do that, right? Look at the next verse, what Krishna says about that. Deva dvija guru prajna. Pujanam shaujam arjavam brahmacharyam ahimsacha shariram tava uchyate. What is sharira tapasya means, right? Deva dvija guru prajna. Pujanam shaujam arjavam brahmacharyam ahimsacha shariram tava uchyate. Devaha cha dvijaha cha guravaha cha prajnaha. Deva dvija guru prajna tesham pujanam. Deva dvija guru prajna pujanam shaujam arjavam krajitvam. Brahmacharyam ahimsacha sharira nirvartyam shariram sharira pradhanehi sarvaihi eva karya karanehi kartra didivi sadhyam shariram tapa uchyade panjayade tasya hedava idhi vakshadi. What is expected is that the the tapasya with shariram, with the body, right? Physical discipline, basically. Physical discipline, right? Meditation is all with the mind, right? But one should not ignore the body. Why? Because all the time, why we have to get the body under control is, body will continuously drag us down. When you are trying to advance in the spiritual path, the body will continuously try to drag you down from that, right? So, that is why when Bhrigu went to Varuna, what did Varuna tell him that? Annamayam Altmanam Upasangramya. That's how Taittiriya Upanishad begins. Annamayam Altmanam Upasangramya. First, get out of this Annamayam. Annamayam means this body. Get out of this body. Transcend the body first, he said to him, right? So, in order that, see the Atma, to become closer to Atma, this Annamayam, or this body, has to be kept under watch, that it does not come on the way and cause problems for us. And therefore, tapasya is required for that. And that tapasya is with the body, and it is important. Because every day, the mind won't cooperate with you. Every day, right? Sometimes even your words won't cooperate with you. You will start like talking about some rubbish in the world instead of talking about Bhagavad Gita or Bhagavatam, right? So, if nothing is agreeable, body, mind is not agreeable, words are not agreeable, still, what they used to do was, mind is not agreeable, the words are also not agreeable, but they'll use the body to make agree with you. That's why what they do is, they go pluck the flowers from the garden for the deity worship, make the garland and things like that. Yeah, and similarly arrange abhishekam for the deity and all these things. All these things, even great tapasvis, they also used to do this. When in the morning hours they'll go to the garden, pluck the flowers, make garlands themselves for the deity what they are worshipping, and arrange for the deity worship. Mind may not be agreeing with everything what you are doing, but they will force the body to do it. That is a tapasya. That is the tapasya, right? So, these things you will observe when you stay with great tapasvis. Great tapasvis who are very fixed on these things, right? So, some people, they think, if you just study the books, that's enough. Why do work about the body? Some people have this nature, just doing with the mind. They like to sit in one place, read the books, or listen to some tapes, cassettes, or the YouTube, or something like that. Is that not enough? They'll say. They say, that's our sadhana. I'm listening all the time, right? So, their feeling is that if I'm able to absorb my mind in that way, is that not enough? No. That is only one aspect of that, right? But Nityanushtanam, where is Nityanushtanam then? Nityanushtanam means on a daily basis, to have a fixed program on a daily basis to do it, right? And just to be done every day. And if you can do that with the concentration, it's the best. But even if you don't have the concentration, because mind will wander around all sorts of things. Suppose you have some problems at home, that will come to your mind. But in spite of that, the anushtanam you have to continue, whatever it may be. Concentration is one aspect of the mind, right? And concentration, if it is favorable, it is good. But just like you can see, when you are chanting the holy name, the mind wanders around, isn't it? How many of us can chant completely thinking about Krishna all the time? It never happens. I don't know about you, I know about me. It doesn't stay. Mind will go in all sorts of directions, right? So, this will happen to everybody. It's a known thing. And then what happens is, after some time you start thinking, oh, I've been chanting so many years, nothing has happened. Where am I now? All these thoughts will come inside. It's all the tricks of the mind. Mind is trying to put the spanner there. So, this change happens in the mind due to modes of nature. Satogunam, rajogunam, tamogunam. If you observe yourself, you will notice these things. Say you had a good sleep at night, and say you slept 4 or 5 hours, and you woke up in the night. Suddenly you will observe yourself, not much thoughts are coming at that time, and you feel a desire to chant at that particular time. Whereas, in the evening, after whole day, you ran around here, there, everywhere, and you came home, oh, I have to chant my 16 rounds now. I've not done any rounds, and you take your beats bag and start chanting, mind won't agree. Just see the difference. You can see yourself. I don't have to say this. You look at your own sleeping pattern, and you wake up in the middle of the night after sleeping a few hours, you feel rested, you feel a little refreshed, you wake up, the whole prakriti is very quiet, and you sit in the chair, and you observe that the mind is not giving you any trouble. And that's the time. So you have to find in your own life where satogunam is coming in. When satogunam comes, you should take advantage of it straight away. When rajogunam and tamogunam is dominating, particularly by evening, rajas and tamasas come inside a lot from the day, working in the office or interacting with the world through all the vyavaharam in the world, a lot of rajogunam, tamogunam would have come inside. So when rajas and tamas is inside, chittavritti will increase. When chittavritti increases, you won't be able to do anything properly. It will be just a Hare Krishna, just a voice only, but there is no able to focus on anything, right? So, one has to oneself make all these experiments with one's own life, right? And, in some situations, when your mind is not agreeable also, you have to think like this, that I will chant the holy name because Krishna has spoken in the Bhagavatam. Prabhupada said this, you should chant the holy name. On the strength of their words, you should follow. Without thinking about whether it's working or not. Because they have told us to do it, we should do it. That's the approach for that, right? So, because they have told us, I'm doing the anushtanam in that way. In this way, if it is done gradually, the body will in a natural way get disciplined. Gradually body will get disciplined, and that anushtanam is what is Krishna is saying here, that the discipline that comes into your life. That means able to take Krishna's instructions in the Bhagavadam or the spiritual master's instructions and able to abide by that. You suppose you are worshipping deity at home, then the mind that is worshipping that deity is a very refined mind, if you have that nature. If you have that nature, the mind is very refined. Yeah. So, for example, you have a place of worship at home, and daily you're worshipping the deity, and this is traditional way I'm saying this, that one husband, wife, they lived in a house, they worshipped the deity, and at some point in time they will leave the world, and they pass on the same thing to the children, that tradition, what they have done that, right? So, and this is the greatest thing, that passing on to the next generation, what you have practiced your whole life, and they have seen it, and they also feel that responsibility to do it once you have left. That is the greatest benefit from that, right? So, so the room where you have done the deity worship, the incense, on all that, everyone when he enters into that room, they should feel the presence of that, impact of that worship, what happened. Automatically a reverential feeling inside, right? Just like a temple, when you go into a temple, in the same way. Unfortunately, this is gone now. This has gone, right? Because the next generation, I'm talking about based on Bharata Bhumi's style, lifestyle. Here, of course, it's a totally different story. Bharata Bhumi, what has happened is, this passing on from one generation to another, because everybody lived in the same house, parents gone, the next generation comes. They have gone, their children will come. But this deity worship at home continued in spite of many, many generations. But now what happened? Children have all gone away. They have migrated to Europe or America or elsewhere, and the parents have gone to old age home or anything. And that room where they have done, many generations who have worshipped the deity there, and they are on sale now for people to buy. So this is how the life has changed, I'm saying. So previous generations, they gave a lot of importance to Nityanushtanam. The current generations, they have lost it. They don't feel, they somehow or the other, their prarabdham has taken them away somewhere else to go, right? So, and somebody else have moved into that house, whatever it may be, right? So this Krishna is talking about in this verse, is referring to that. Deva dvija guru prajna pujanam shaujam arjavam brahmacharya ahimsaja shariram tapam uchyate. What it means is that aradhana, daily worship at home, there ishta devada, what you worship, guru, and then you worship salagram or shivalingam or puja, whatever you do for the other deities, normally they will have salagramashila or shivalingam, something like salagramashila for Vishnu and shivalingam for Lord Shiva. In this way, they are all stones only. But that's what Krishna is saying, deva, devada rupam, right? Devada rupam. And devada rupam, what is beauty about that is, avahanam is not required. Avahanam means, in the tantriya vidhi, in the worshipful, you have to invoke the presence of Andaryami into, you are invoking from Andaryami Krishna into the stone, into the deity. When you do the prana pradishta, what do they do actually? Prana pradishta is nothing but invoking the Krishna inside, because he is the one who is present permanently there, continuously with you all the time. So inviting him from there to come into the deity form and to accept the worship. And then in some places they have a thing called udvasanam. Udvasanam means that you are bringing him back into the Antaryami again. Avahanam, Udvasanam. Those two things. But in permanent temples where worship is happening, while installing, they have invoked from the Rishi or the great personality Mahatma who has installed the deity. He would have prayed to Krishna to come and occupy the seat in the temple, in the deity. So the great Rishis, they have installed deities like that. Vasishtha, Kulivani Maharshi, Agastya, all these great personalities, thousands of temples all over the country where they have installed. And Parashuram, for example, how many 108 temples he has installed in Kerala alone, his own. So like this, all great personalities, they have installed deities in different places where they have invoked, because their words mean a lot, not like our words. When they say to the deity, Antaryami, Antaryami comes and occupied those temples and they survived so long, right? So, although they are just stones, but because the rishis have brought Antaryami from inside and told them to sit there to accept the worship, therefore they are permanently present there. Otherwise, Salagram and Shivalingam are just stones only. But because they have this potency that permanently there is presence there, then some devotees, what they do, olden days, sannyasis also, they'll carry a box with them, and in that box they will carry their deity with them whenever they travel, right? And on a daily basis, wherever they go, they will perform the snanam, puja, and naivedyam, offering everything. Some people, they will tie their salagram to their neck and travel around in that way. Similarly, Shivalingam, Nitya Puja, Deva Puja, right? So, these are all different sampradayams. So, traditionally there were this six different forms of worship. Kaumaram, and then Vaishnavam, Shaivam, and Shaktayam, Ganapatyam, Sauram. These six different devadas are worshipped all over Bharatbhumi at different places. Shaivam, Vaishnavam, very popular. Shakti also. Shivas, Vishnus, and Shakti. And then sun is worshipped in some places strongly. In some places Brahmani is worshipped, Kaumaram. In some places Ganesh is worshipped, Ganapatyam. Right? So, of worshipping all these different devadas also, was existing, and that is all Deva Puja. What the first one Krishna is saying here. Deva Dvija Guru Prajna. Deva Puja means all the worship of all these different devadas, right? So, Vaidika Karma Anushtanam is all Deva Puja mainly. Sandhya Vandanam is Deva Puja, right? And the greatest of all devadas is the one who appears in the morning in the sky. Surya, sun, isn't it? And you don't even require a deity. You can see him in the morning when he comes, right? That is why Hiranmayena Patrayana Satya Sabhimisam Mukham, Upanishad says about the sun, right? So he comes in the morning, covers himself with the Hiranmayena Patrayana Satya Sabhidam Mukham, covers himself with a veil, and he comes in the east first. So that is the appearance. So rishis they feel very ecstasy when they see the sun in the morning. Rishis feel ecstasy. That is why so many mantram in the Vedam is addressing to him. So many mantrams in the Vedam, including our Gayatri, is addressed to him. Krishna is present in the sun as the Narayana. Savidru Mandala Madhyavarti, they call it. Savidru Mandala Madhyavarti, that's what he is, right? So that Savidru Devada, in order to worship him, in all the three times, morning, lunchtime, and in the evening. This is why I'm saying it's not anything different. That spiritual life, the ideal place is Bharatabhumi. There is no doubt about that. Because Here we get some few days now. After that, we will see him next year, May or June, if we get to see him again. But there, that 6 to 6 hours, 12 hours day and 12 hours night, all that is very favorable for this, following this routine, right? So, so for Dhyanam, Aditya Upasana, you will see Ramachandra worshipping Aditya in the Ramayanam, famous worship of Surya, before he goes to war with Ravana, right? And Vedam says that you offer all the three sandhyas to him, Arghyam. So that is Sandhya Vandanam. In all the three sandhyas, offering the Gayatri Mantram and offering the Arghyam to him. So you can observe this in the nature also. You know these birds, when they morning, when the sun comes out, you look at their happiness, the way they make the sound when they see the sun. The sound they make in the morning, the ecstasy what they feel when they see the sun in the morning. Unfortunately, we don't have time for all that, isn't it? We are too busy people. So what happens when they come, when the sun rises in the morning, and you carefully look, say 3-4 o'clock in the morning, if you observe, you will see the birds coming out making noises. And that noise is an expression of their happiness, what they feel when the sun is rising, right? And that ecstasy, what they get. And then, mainly these parrots and all that, right? And when you see their ecstasy, you feel happy that they are so happy, those birds are, right? And you look at them in the evening when the sun is setting. You can see the change, the way they make the sound at that time. You become, get used to that things, right? So, the happiness they felt when they saw the sun rising in the morning, you can see in the throughout the nature, you can see that happiness in the squirrels, in all other birds, animals, everything, right? So giving attention to Prakriti is important, right? Like the sky, and similarly the wind, sun, and the trees, all of them, attending to them is Deva Puja. That's what Krishna is talking about there. Deva Dvija Guru Pratya Pujanam Shaujam Arjavam Brahmacharya Ahimsaja Shariram Tapam Uchyate. We because we have totally disconnected from the nature now. Our lifestyle is like that, isn't it? From A to B we drive, and once you get in the house, all the doors and windows are all closed. Totally isolated from the nature. And because of that, these verses may sound a little bit foreign to us when Krishna is saying these things. Krishna is saying all this is for people who live a natural life, not this artificial lifestyle, what we have created, right? So this Deva Puja includes all these things, recognizing, offering respects to all the living entities when they see the sun rising in the morning, seeing their happiness. So that is Deva Puja, and every day one should do that. And then daily offering obeisances to Agni. That's what is called Agnihotram, right? Shamida, that means bringing the Chamada and offering to them. Aubasanam, these are all different Vedic rituals done on a daily basis by the Brahmana. Agniadhanam, Shamidadhanam, Aubasanam, three things, right? And accepting Agni, fire, as a Deva. All material elements are Devas. Agni, Vayu, Agasham, everything. But Agni Vasana, in the olden days, when the children come home, they'll tell the mother, I've come. Mother knows what it means. It means they're hungry. They want something to eat. So, so just like the hungry children tell the mother, in the same way, these Brahmanas, they go to Agni. And they say to Agni that an attachment built up with the Agni. Agni, they feel protection from Agni, right? So this idea behind that is to develop a attachment to something which is not a personality as such in front of us. Do you know what I'm saying? That normally we talk about all you need is love and all we say. I don't know what that means. But this is not that. what he is talking about is that in the nature, when you see Krishna's manifestation, feeling a reverence towards that and feeling a connection with it, that is what this is talking about. When Krishna is saying here, Deva Dija Guru Prajnam, Pujanam Shaujam Arjavam. See, in the modern world, most of the things we are talking about is based on a bodily attachment, things like that, right? But that's not this way. This is a different way. How to develop attachment to something which is not very a personal form in front of us, but still able to develop a relationship with that, Agni. And that requires a little practice in that way, right? So, for example, Agni is a Devada. And how to get attached to Agni Devada? Agni is a Devada, isn't it? So, that attachment you feel to a alaukika vastu, which is not from this world, Agni Devada, we have not seen him, but we accept that Agni Devada is there from the Vedam. Vedam says so. And Agni is the one who takes all your offerings to the Devada. When you have a sacrifice, big sacrifice, yagam happens, you are everything offering to Agni, isn't it? When you get your initiation done, everything is offered to Agni. Agni takes everything to the respective Devadas, whomever you have chanted the mantra for. So your offering is taken by Agni. In other words, Agni is the middleman between us and the Devadas. Between Devadas and us, he is a middle person. Right? So to develop some priyam there, attachment there, is what he is saying here. In other words, what they'll say is, those who have developed that nature are called Rasika Shiromani. That means they have developed that feeling for Agni. One who don't have that are called Arasika Shiromani. That means you should not be Arasikas like that. Like small children, right? The problem is, if you don't worship these different Devatas, what will happen is, we'll start worshipping the film stars, cricket players, and things like that. Everybody wants somebody to worship. Young people, you can see how their mind is so polluted with the film stars, celebrities, sportsmen, musicians, rock stars and all. They are worshipping them because they have built an attachment towards them. Instead of developing attachment to Devadas, they have developed the attachment to all these kind of people, right? You can see with the World Cup going on in America, what all kinds are going on, the kind of worship that is happening among the fans, right? So, if you don't do this, that will happen. You will develop this kind of worship. You are worshipping there also, because your mind is attached there. Instead, that mind should be attached to Devadas, what Krishna has spoken in the Vedam, right? Those people, they are not qualified for anything, and you are worshipping them, right? So, they'll say like this, if you don't worship Hanuman, you'll worship Superman, or Spider-Man, or Batman, or some other man. Better to worship Hanuman in that way, right? So, when you worship these Devadas, what is important there is divinity in that. Knowledge is there, bhakti is there, and this alaugikatvam. Alaugikatvam means that freedom from this attachment to this world, dharmam, is there. So, Vedavyasa Maharshi says this, about this, right? What he has to say, that what I have done, Vedavyasa Maharshi says, that through the strength of my tapasya, Vedavyasa Maharshi is well known for that, through my tapasya, I have created a mystical world altogether for you, he said. And that is what I have done through all the Puranams. I have created a world for you to get absorbed, right? And that is all the vibhudis of all that. If this vibhudi, this is a vibhudi it is, this what Vedavyasa has written, this Puranams and all the other literature, what he has compiled, is a vibhudi of Krishna, presented to us for us to develop a relationship. That is what these Puranams are all for. Puranams are not history. We will not, should not get into that misunderstanding. Puranams were compiled by Vedavyas. 18 Puranams he returned, Upapuranams also. And similarly, he has given us Brahma Sutram. All these things he did with only one intention, he is saying here, that I wanted to create a mystical world for you where you can enter into it and take advantage of it. Krishna is Vedavyasa Maharshi. He's not different, isn't it? So that is why he's saying here, if you don't take shelter of this, you will get stuck in Maya. Stuck in Maya, right? That is why in Bhagavatam, you remember when he said that? At the end, Sri Shuka Brahmarshi said that in the 12th canto. Katha imam ste kathitham mahiyasam vidaya lokeshu yasha pareyusham vijnana vairagya vivakshaya vibho vajo vibodhir nadu paramarthyam. That verse, if you understand, you will understand what Vedavyasa is saying. He is saying that katha imam ste kathitham mahiyasam vidaya lokeshu yasha pareyusham vijnana vairagya vivakshaya vibho vajo vibodhir nadu paramarthyam. Nadu paramarthyam. Don't take it as a history and start looking at it, he said. Vajo, this is all vibhudi it is. Krishna's vibhudi is all this is. Shuka Brahmarshi is saying this to Parikshit. All I have spoken in the Srimad Bhagavatam is nothing but Krishna's vibhudi. Krishna's vibhudi it is. What we call in English is opulence, isn't it? Vibhudi is opulence. So, this is also Krishna's opulence. All Puranams are Krishna's opulence it is. So he says, katha imam se kathitha mahiyasam vidaya logeshu yasha pareyusham vijnana vairagya vivakshaya vibho vajo vibhudir nadu paramarthyam. Don't take it as in the as a fact checking. Don't check everything as though it's a fact. No. I have created this Bhagavata Puranam as well as the other Puranams for this purpose. For what? Vajo vibhudir. I have created a yoga process through words. Through words, vajo vibhudir, yoga vaibhavam, right? And it is not something that has happened sometime before history, not like that, right? That is why when you read Srimad Bhagavatam, you have to think like this. It is happening right now inside you, Bhagavatam. You should not read Bhagavatam, oh, 5,000 years ago all these things happened, I have nothing to do with you, with that. No, that's not the way it is, right? You are seeing every personality in the Bhagavatam right now. You are having a relationship with him while reading Bhagavatam. Whether it is Muchukunda, whether it is Kunti Devi, whether it is Bhishma, whether it is the Gopis, whether it is Uddhava, whoever it may be, while reading Bhagavatam, you have to feel some connection with them right now at this stage, right? That is all Deva Puja, that first one. This is all Deva Puja, right? So, And one has to develop that nature within oneself. Constantly I have to associate with the devas, different devas. And attachment will come over a period of time. All these great, great personalities will go into your mind and will start influencing you. Bhishma, Kunti Devi, and Parikshit, Gopis, all of them start influencing you inside if you read it with this moment, at the moment. Whereas if you read it like a history book, it won't have any effect. Vedavyasa Maharshi says that. He says, I've created this for you so that you can enter into it and take advantage of all that. All those personalities, right? So, and you can see this in Mahatmas, great, great personalities who are serious about spiritual life, how they have changed themselves. For example, in Sringeri, when the Acharya goes away, he has to travel many, many places, goes everywhere, walking everywhere, right? So what he does is, before he goes away, the deity there is Sharada Devi. Vidyashankar and Sharada Devi, both are the temples in the Sringeri Matam. He will go to them and he will say to the deities, I'm going to all these places and you have to help me that I come back without any trouble. And he will give a list of all the places what he is going to travel. Because they travel from village to village, visiting different communities, and spend some time with each one of them, right? And he will recite, he will list the whole places to the deity, he will speak to them, and then he will offer obeisances to the deity, and then he will go. That's his system. Their system is like that, right? And then when they come back, after months and months they wandered around all over walking, when they come back, they'll come back to Sharada Devi and says to her, wherever places what they have visited and what has happened at different places, they will say everything to the deity. Right? So that is how sannyasis are. They are supposed to have that relationship with them, right? So as much as possible, they will do this. They'll only go and tell the deity first that they are visiting these places. What that shows is that they have a personal relationship with that deity. They have built it up. Over years they have built it like that, right? So that kind of discipline, training, and that is the beauty of that. And there is, you'll see that bhakti in their heart, that connection with them and the deity is there. So that is why Deva Puja. Deva Puja is for this relationship to build up, right? Then the next one, Krishna is saying, Dvija. Deva Dvija Guru Prajna Pujanam Shaujam Arjavam Brahmacharyam Ahimsacha Shariram Tapamuchyade. So what does Dvija mean? Dvija means Brahmana, normally refers to Brahmana, right? Brahmana, after his Upanayanam ceremony, what we call second initiation, right? Brahmana is called, that means from childhood itself, that child is sent for education in Vedam, Veda Dhyanam, right? And he, their parents have decided, my son will go and study Vedam, nothing else in life. No other career. This is his life after that, right? So, that is why, if you look into Bhagavatam, Krishna is saying there, in the 17th chapter, Ekadasha Skanda. Brahmanasihi dehoyam kshudra kamaya neshyade krishnaya tapase cheha pretya ananda sukhaya cha. Krishna put that in that chapter. Yeah? Brahmanasihi dehoyam kshudra kamaya neshyade krishnaya tapase cheha pretya ananda sukhaya cha. Krishna is saying to Uddhava this thing, right? Brahmana's body, he is saying that it is meant for tapas. His body, you have to see some of them, how strong they are. Not physically strong, that strength inside, or spiritual strength inside. When you observe that, you understand what tapas means. Those who have done strong tapas among them. Yeah. So, brahmanasahi dehoyam kshudra kamaya neshare. It is not meant for sense gratification, that body. And it is meant for spiritual life, Bhagavad Aradhana. That body is meant for spiritual life. Yeah? Brahmanasihi dehoyam kshudragamaya neshade. What is it meant for? Krishraya tapase cheha pretya ananda sukhaya cha. So, a person who is living like that, completely for tapase with the body, such a person, that Brahmana, one should be worshipped. He should be worshipped. That's what is that dvija means. Dvija means a Brahmana who is doing this, completely performing those tapas all the time. Yeah. So, Krishna has spoken that chapter in the 17th chapter, when he is talking about the Varnashrama Dharma, that's when he said that about Brahmana, right? What Krishna expects from a Brahmana, that's what he is expecting. What's happening now is another story, but this is what Krishna is expecting. I have given him that body for this, he said. Because if you have a favorable body for that, in the sense that if your mind is agreeable with everything, and able to control austerity, and take austerity seriously, if you have a favorable mind, it makes it easier, isn't it? So what Krishna has done, he says, I have given him a subtle body, favorable for that. So we bring all our vasanas with us from previous life, isn't it? So Krishna says, I have given such favorable situation for him, and if he has not utilized it, he said, he has wasted his life. Krishna says that about them, right? So, krishraya tapase jeha. But if he does that, what will happen to him? Pretya ananda sukhaya cha. In other words, what he is saying is, he has already put his first feet into the spiritual world. He has already put his first feet already into the spiritual world. All he has to do is to take the second step and get inside. to the spiritual realm of life, right? So, krishraya tapase cheha, pretya ananda sukhaya cha, all these things, right? So, so brahmana is referring to that one has to see Krishna's presence in such people. In that brahmana. Deva dvija guru prajna pujanam shaujam arjavam. Dvija, right? So, if a brahmana is living like that, he should be worshipped. That's the injunction, right? Then Krishna says there, brahmana, you know these famous words, that the he is present in the brahmana, and then he is present in the sun, in the fire, in the cow, all these places, he is worshipable, he is saying here, isn't it? Yeah. You look at 11th chapter, 11:42. Surya Agni Brahmano Gavo Vaishnava Kham Marur Jalam Bhudalma Sarva Bhudani Bhadra Puja Padani Me. Krishna is saying that to Uddhava. He's saying Suryan, Sun, Agni, Brahmana, Cow, Vaishnava, Space, Kham, Jalam, and Bhudalma Sarva Bhudani. In all living entities I am present, he said. So what happened was, when these things were spoken, many people said, these are all brahmanas are manipulating things for their advantage. This is what happened. They started blaming brahmanas. They have written all these things so that they will be worshipped by others. In this way, people took everything, they twisted the whole thing, and they started saying like that. If you say like that, that what that means is you are not following Vedam. You have come out of Vedam then. That means you have rejected Vedam. Vedam says so. You can't reject that because the authority is the Vedam, right? Because rishis have spoken this, Krishna has spoken this, Vedavyasa Maharshi has spoken this. You see, rishis have spoken this, Krishna has spoken that, Vedavyasa Maharshi has spoken this. But suppose you're born as a brahmana, but you don't have any qualifications, you don't have the samskaram, and if you ask somebody to worship him, nobody can do that. That's not possible. Provided he has got the samskaram with him. Provided he has got the samskaram with him. Right? So brahmana means that one who has got that samskaram, he should be worshipped. But one who doesn't have that, he does not have the samskaram, he has gone and started working somewhere and living a life as a shudra, then there is no need to worship him. But those who are having it, they should be worshipped. That's all what Krishna is saying here. Deva dvija guru prajna, right? A brahmana who has studied Vedam, Vedadhyayanam, one who is doing sandhyavandanam all the three times a day, anushtanam, tapas, a brahmana who is doing all these things, he should be offered respects. Worship, he should be worshipped. That is what he is saying here. How do you worship him? That's the next one. The answer for that is bhojanam. All he is asking from you is prasadam. Nothing else. Nothing else, right? Because reason for that is, brahmana doesn't earn anything in this world. He is not supposed to work and earn anything, right? And he doesn't have wealth of his own. Actually, you have to understand this story. How in Vedic times, how brahmanas were respected by Ramachandra and Krishna and everybody else, right? In Ramayanam, there is this beautiful story about that. Ramayanam, when Ramachandra decided to go to forest, Sita Devi and Lakshmana were accompanying him, right? So at that time, Ramachandra thought, I am going anyway. What do I want to keep all this money for, with me? They had a lot of wealth in Ayodhya. He wanted to just give charity to everybody, whatever money he had, right? So, and not only he did the charity, he asked Sita Devi and Lakshmana also to give everything in charity. He would not allow them to keep anything either, right? And all three of them are Kshatriyas, aren't they? Sita Devi and Lakshmana and Ramachandra, all of them, right? So, they gave everything in charity. They gave everything in charity because they were going to the forest for 15 years or so, and they don't need any wealth. So they said everything in charity. They gave everything in charity. And they were ready to go. And they were about to leave Ayodhya. At that time, a Brahmana comes in. From somewhere, a Brahmana has come, right? And when Ramachandra saw the Brahmana, he felt very amusing to see him, the way he came, right? Stomach has gone completely inside because he has not eaten for a long time. And he was starving, right? And he heard from somewhere, in them days there was no mobile phones, isn't it? You hear hearsay only, somebody has to tell you something. So he heard from his village somewhere far away that Ramchandra is going to forest, is going to give everything in charity. So Brahmana decided to come to get some charity from Ramchandra. He comes to see him, right? And hearing this, he had come. And when Ramchandra heard this, Ramchandra smiled, seeing the Brahmana, that he had come all the way from there to get some charity, right? First of all, out of poverty, the Brahmana is so poor that he was barely in need of something, right? Not only that, after hearing that there is charity being given here, from a long distance he has traveled all the way, walked all the way to come here, right? All these things were there for a long period. It's only now everything has changed. Our way of life has changed, so all these things have also disappeared. Everything, right? So, first thing is that, in the olden days, just for a meal, they will walk 15 miles, 15 kilometers or something, to the temple, just to have a meal, and they'll walk back all the way. Right? Because they were like that. Brahmanas were like that. All they want is a meal. Rest everything, they are not bothered. What is in this world, they are more than satisfied. Whatever happens in the world, they are willing to accept that. So little they possessed, and say so little they wanted from the world. That understanding from an early life itself, imagine how helpful that is. If you have that understanding from early life, how helpful that will be. So they had that. Anyway, you can see this. The kings knew these things, the nature of a Brahmana, what Brahmana meant, they knew that. You remember in the Vrindavanam, when Krishna left the world, Vajranabha was installed in Mathura, and Parikshit was installed in Hastinapur as a king. Then everybody left, Krishna left, gopis also left, cowherd boys also left, that whole Yadavas who were present there, they all left. There was nobody there. Vrindavanam became a desert practically. Desert in the sense, there was nobody living there. Practically, there was nobody living there. Then Vajranabha asked the Shandilya Maharshi, what should I do now? What should I do now? Shandilya Maharshi says to Vajranabha that you call Parikshit here from Delhi and tell him to send the Brahmanas from Delhi to come and occupy in Vrindavanam. And it is, specifically he says, bring the Brahmanas from there. Because Shandilya Maharshi says to them that if Brahmanas come, they will understand the importance of Vrindavanam. And they will settle down here. And that is what it happened, right? They came and they built all the temples in Vrindavanam. Like you can see Radha Govindaji, Radha Madhumanji and all. They have built those temples. But later on they got destroyed and then it was renovated. But originally, these were the Brahmanas who came from Delhi. They built those temples there. And they didn't ask for anything. No help at all, right? Majority of them were satisfied with the meal, right? So, normally they know which temple, which date the meal is be served. So many temples there. So, they will walk to different temples. And they'll get their requirement as food is concerned is over with that. Imagine a lifestyle, no pensions, and not dependent on investments, not nothing like that. Totally dependent on Krishna's mercy, that's all, right? So, when this Brahmana came to see Ramachandra, Ramachandra started laughing, seeing him. And he says to him that, okay, what do you want for the charity, he says. So, he said, I have no meal, I have not eaten anything. I'm hungry, he said. Brahmana says to Ramachandra. Ramachandra, seeing the Brahmana thought, he is very greedy. He has come all the way walking from such a long distance. So, he started smiling. So what he did was, Ramchandra did to him was, he said that, and he has got a stick in the hand while walking, dandam, right? He told him, stand here and throw that dandam from here, yourself, you throw your dandam from here. And to the extent where it falls, up to that distance, I'll give you cows, one by one in a line, all covered with golden horns. I'll give it to you, he said. He was just having fun with the Brahmana. He was just enjoying the fun. Seeing this Brahmana's greed, he thought like that. So, what did the Brahmana do? He had his second cloth on his shoulder. He took it and tied it around his waist and took the stick and threw it. And when he threw that stick, it went and crossed the Sarayu River and the opposite side he went and fell there. Imagine, Sarayu River is a wide river and this stick has gone and fallen on the other side of the Sarayu River, right? And when he saw that, Ramchandra was in a shock, seeing this Brahmana's strength. Where did all this strength coming from? He didn't have any, he has not eaten anything. And when you look at his body, it looks very weak. But when he saw this strength, while he threw the stick, it went and fall on the opposite side of the Sarayu River. He says to him, so Ramchandra says, I'll keep my promise, he said, I'll give you the cows one by one in line. And then he says, that if you have desire inside, then strength will come from inside, right? And tapobalam, the tapasya, the strength of the tapasya. So, and Ramchandra offered obeisances to that Brahmana, told him that for amazing, he said. So, what he said was, this is to tell us the strength of tapasya, of that Brahmana. Brahmana's tapostrength, tapobalam it is, right? You may think that, oh, he's not so strong, he has not eaten it. It's not a physical strength. That strength inside from the tapasya. That's what Ramachandra wanted to show to the world in the Brahmana, how it was there. So that is why he apologized to Brahmana. Because he smiled at Ramachandra, smiled at him first for asking for all this. So he smiled at him, offered obeisances to him, and gave him the cows with the horns covered in gold and all that. So Pashu, cows were given in charity. In them days, cows were given in charity, not anything else. Cows were the main charity, right? So this Dvija Shabdam is referring to that. Deva Dvija, so Dvijam. Dvijam means Brahmana who has studied Vedam and who is following Sandhyavandanam and who has got all the Anushtanam and who has got the Tapasya. He is a Brahmana. That is Brahmana's qualifications, proper qualifications. Right, so basically what Dvija means that through knowledge of the self, one who has taken second birth. First birth is from the mother. Second birth after initiation, Upanayanam, you are taking a second birth, isn't it? So that's what he's referring to. Then he is saying, Deva Dvija Guru Prajna. Dvijam, that word dvija, is interesting. Birds are also called dvija. Birds. This another word for the birds is dvija. Right? Why is it called like that? Because from the first, the egg comes out. And from the egg, they are born. Is it not? They are andajam, they are andajam. Right? So, similarly, deva, dvija, guru, all of them are they are performing tapasya. They are performing tapasya. So, all of them, Acharya is the same. What does this mean now? It means that Acharya and Guru, two things, right? Acharya is one who is giving them the upadesham, instructions, teaching others by example. He is Acharya, right? Acharya doesn't have responsibility for you. Acharya doesn't have responsibility for you. He teaches people about spiritual life, right? What Shastram has spoken, he follows in his life. Acharanam. He follows in his life. He is called Acharya. What Shastram is teaching us, he practices it in his life and he teaches others. So therefore he is called Acharya. Guru is different, right? Guru is a little bit special in the sense that you can see there that Guru requires a personal, it becomes very personal then, right? Personally, in your personal life, sometimes Acharya can become Guru as well, but Acharya need not be a Guru always. Acharya can be a Guru as well, but Acharya need not be a Guru, right? Acharya is Acharya. Guru means the one who removes the ignorance from you completely and give you the self-realization at the end. So that's the difference between Guru and Acharya. Acharya teaches everyone about spiritual life, but he doesn't have personal responsibility of anyone. Guru is a person who actually finally gives you the spiritual knowledge and releases you from the bondage. Right? So, gu means darkness, or darkness means ignorance, avidya. Ru means one who gives to us the knowledge of the self, right? So, even if you forget the Deva Puja, Guru, one should not be forgotten at any time. Kabir says that, he said, Govinda and Guru, if they come in front of me, I will offer obeisances to the Guru first, not to Govinda, right? They say that if Shiva gets angry, then Guru will protect you. But if Guru gets angry, nobody can protect you. These things are there, right? So, these are all spoken to tell us the importance of Guru in this way. Guru Tattvam, right? Dakshinamurti is saying there as Guru. And he is the Adhyatma Guru. Dakshinamurti Sotram says that, right? So, there may be other gurus also who will give, teach us different things, right? And it is always like that. You may have one guru from whom you have given the upadesham. You have taken upadesham from one guru. But then in life, there may be other gurus who will help you in your spiritual path, right? So, but what happened was that everything gets corrupted. Then what happened? Now there's guru for dancing, there is a guru. Similarly for music, there is a guru. So guru words people started using like that. For different fields, they started using this term guru, which is not right. Which is wrong actually. But then you can't help it, because that's the way people are, right? So, and the sound guru, word guru also, is another word for father, in the sense that in Upanishad you will see this, in Prasnopanishad, there's a famous Upanishad, Prasnopanishad, the disciple saying to the guru that you are our father, right? In other words, because he is taking you beyond the darkness of life, therefore he is addressed as father, right? And Ramana Maharshi called Arunachalam as his father, right? So basically, Guru is one who gives you the knowledge of the self, right? So, for example, in Bhakti Sadhana, this is all talking about Jnana Sadhana. In Bhakti Sadhana, one whoever gives you the mantram, he is the Guru. And Bhakti Margam, one who is guiding you in the Bhakti process, and that guru, he is referring to one who removes the avidya from inside and one who brings that knowledge inside, knowledge of the self inside. That guru is not different from Krishna. So, Brahma, Vishnu, Shiva, all these great personalities, we can't see them. But they are all present in this world in the form of guru. That is why that famous verse, Gurur Brahma, Gurur Vishnu, Gurur Devo Maheshwara, Guru Sakshal Param Brahma, Tasmai Shri Gurave Nama. Right? So, service to the Guru is what Krishna is saying here. Deva Dvija Guru. Guru's importance, right? Guru has asked you to do something, and if you feel that it is not necessary, even then, in order to please the guru, one should do that at any cost, right? So, only when the guru is pleased, then the benefit of the spiritual life will happen. Otherwise, not, right? Whatever they are telling us, it has to be done, right? And even if they are not there, they have gone, but still they will be observing that what's being done. So these are all about the guru. And Atma Vicharam, for example, absorbing in Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavadam, all that is Guru Seva actually. It's a service to the Guru, right? What Guru has spoken, that should be taken seriously. And that pleases him. So Shastram, Adhyayana Shastram, Adhyatma Sadhana, Japam, Dhyanam, all these things, if a disciple is well established in spiritual life and he is making progress in the spiritual path through that Alpanishta, that disciple is having good relationship with the Guru. Good relationship with the Guru, right? So, that is what it is called in the Bhagavadam. Resigya bhuvi bhavukaha. Bhavukatvam, it is called. Bhavukatvam means that worshipping that lotus feet of Guru. Namo namashri Guru Padukabhyam. In the Guru Ashtakam you will see this word. Namo namashri Guru Padukabhyam, right? And that offering to the respect to the lotus feet of the Guru. And that is all is called bhavugatvam, right? In bhakti, this bhavugatvam is very important, right? That is why in Bhagavatam it said like that. Resigya bhuvi bhavukaha. Remember? Yeah. Dharma projjita kaidavotra paramo nirmal saranam sadam vedyam vastavam atra vastu shivadam tapatrayon mulanam. Srimal Bhagavati Mahamunikrade Kimvabare Ishwari Sadyohu Dhyaviruddhyadetrakritibi Shishushubi Talshanal Nigamakalpadaror Galidam Phalam Shukamukhad Amurdadrava Samyudam Pipada Bhagavadam Rasam Alayam Muhuraho Resika Bhuvi Bhavukaha. What does that mean? Resigyo Bhuvi Bhavukaha. He says this that the we should be bhavukas. That is what Bhagavadam is expecting us. Bhavukas. Bhavuka means that the it is an important thing in bhakti, this bhavuka. Bhavuka means that this relationship with Bhagavadam and worshipping the Guru, it is a tapasya, right? That is a sharirika tapasya. So similarly, bhavukatva means this relationship building up with Bhagavadam. Reading Srimad Bhagavatam and feeling a connection with all the personalities in the Bhagavatam. Bhagavad Gita is a little different. Bhagavad Gita is pure spiritual knowledge, essence. In Srimad Bhagavatam, what Vedavyasa Maharshi has done, he has presented a number of personalities for us to relate with. Because it is easier to relate with personalities, isn't it? When you read about Kunti Devi's Suti, Kunti Suti, Bhishma Suti, and similarly, Ambarisha's Suri and Uddhava's relationship with Krishna. Gradually, it is easier for us to relate with Krishna that way, through these great personalities. So that is what is called Bhavagatam. Bhavagatam means able to penetrate to Krishna through these personalities, through their help. That requires a certain mind for that. If we start reading Bhagavatam thinking that, oh, this all happened 5,000 years ago, it has nothing to do with me, that is not how Bhagavatam should be read. Bhagavatam, we have to read it in this way, that it is happening now in front of us, they are there, all these great, great personalities. And listening to them and how they related with Krishna, you get a connection with Krishna through them, through their relationship, right? That is what that Bhavagatam means. Resiga bhuvi bhavugaha. So, bhavugatvam is an important aspect in bhakti. ഈ ഭാവുകത്വം ഈസ് ഭാവന ഇൻസൈഡ് ത്രൂ ഭാവന യു ആർ ക്രിയേറ്റിംഗ് എ റിലേഷൻഷിപ്പ് വിത്ത് ദം ഇഫ് ദാറ്റ് ഈസ് നോട്ട് ദയർ ദെൻ ഇറ്റ് വോണ്ട് ഗോ വെരി ഫാർ ഭക്തി വോണ്ട് ഡെവലപ്പ് ഇൻസൈഡ് റൈറ്റ് സോ ദാറ്റ്സ് വാട്ട് ഹി ഈസ് സേയിങ് ഹിയർ ദെൻ ഈസ് ടോക്കിംഗ് എബൌട്ട് ഗുരു പ്രാജ്ഞ പൂജനം ശൗചമാർജവം സോ ഇനീഷ്യലി ഈ സെഡ് ദാറ്റ് ഓൾ ദിസ് ഈസ് ഈസ് ശരീര തപസ് തപസ് വിത്ത് ദ ബോഡി ദെൻ ഇഫ് യു ജസ്റ്റ് സേ ദാറ്റ് ഐ എം ഡൂയിങ് ഇറ്റ് വിത്ത് മൈ മൈൻഡ് എവറിഥിങ് ഇറ്റ്സ് ഓൾ ഇൻ മൈ മൈൻഡ് സം പീപ്പിൾ സേ ലൈക് ദാറ്റ് ഐ ഡോണ്ട് നീഡ് ടു ഗോ ടു ടെമ്പിൾ ഐ ഡോണ്ട് നീഡ് ടു ഗോ എനിവെയർ ബിക്കോസ് ആസ് ഐ ഗോട്ട് എവറിഥിങ് ഇൻ മൈ മൈൻഡ് സം പീപ്പിൾ സേ ലൈക് ദാറ്റ് റൈറ്റ് ദാറ്റ്സ് നോട്ട് ഗുഡ് യു ഷുഡ് ഓഫർ യുവർ ബോഡി ഓൾസോ ഇൻ ദ സർവീസ് റൈറ്റ് സോ അഭിഷേകം അർച്ചന നൈവേദ്യം നമസ്കാരം പ്രദക്ഷിണം ഓൾ ദീസ് തിങ്സ് ആർ എ പാർട്ട് ഓഫ് ദാറ്റ് ആൻഡ് കൃഷ്ണ ഹാസ് സ്പോക്കൺ ദാറ്റ് ഇൻ ദി 27th ചാപ്റ്റർ ഇൻ ദി 11th കാൻറ്റോ ക്രിയായോഗം വെൻ കൃഷ്ണ സ്പോക്ക് ക്രിയായോഗം ഇൻ ക്രിയായോഗം ഹി സേസ് ഓൾ ദീസ് തിങ്സ് ആർ റിക്വയർഡ് ഓഫറിംഗ് ദ ഡെയ്റ്റി വർഷിപ്പിംഗ് ദ ഡെയ്റ്റി ഓഫറിംഗ് ദി ഫ്ലവേഴ്സ് ഓഫറിംഗ് നിവേദ്യം ഓഫറിംഗ് ഒബേസാൻസസ് സർക്കുമാംബുലേറ്റിംഗ് And finally, Krishna said, you should offer your obeisances to me, he says. Isn't it? Shiromal padayo hritva. Put both your hands on my feet and say to me, he says to Uddhava. Shiromal padayo hritva. Bahu bhyanja parasparam. And then Uddhava said, what should I say to you? Prabhannam pahima misha. I'm taking your shelter. Prabhannam pahima misha. Bhidam mrtyu graharnaval. What do you want? Why do you want to take my shelter? Krishna says to Uddhava, Uddhava, you say to me, I am frightened about death. Krishna is teaching us how to pray to him. What more can he do? Shirome malpadeyo hritva, put your feet, head on my feet. Lord, Krishna's Lord's feet. Put your head on my feet. Bahubhyanja parasparam. And hold on to my both feet strongly with the hands. And then he say, you say to me, prabhannam pahima misha. Then Uddhava, I will ask you, why you are taking my shelter? What do you want from me? Then you say to me, Bhidam mrtyu graharnaval, I am frightened about death. Everybody is frightened about death, is it not? We will say, oh, we are not frightened, we'll see when it comes and all that. But inside the inside us, in everyone, that fear is always there. One day it's going to happen, right? Shariram kalatram sudam bandhu vargam. Vayasyam dhanam. In one stroke, first you give up your body, then you give up your wife, then you give up your children, then all your relations, then your home, and then your everything, whatever you have. That means practically everything is taken out in 1 minute. Samastam parityajya. Everything in 1 second you are losing it. Ha kashtam. Eke gamishyami. On your own you have to leave this world. Saying goodbye to all. And that moment, if you imagine now, you will know how critical that is. Isn't it? Samastam parityajya. Ha kashtam egam gamishyami dukhena. And while leaving, only dukham inside. Because all this you have worked whole life to get somewhere. And that with the body it's gone. Whole thing. This is our life in this world. And Krishna is reminding us these things. Again and again. Right? So Krishna said to Uddhava, that Uddhava was 120 years or something when this conversation happened. Krishna was 125. Very close they were each other. And so Krishna has decided to leave. And Uddhava also knew that end is coming. And you can see that gravity of the situation. So Krishna says to Uddhava, Uddhava, you take my shelter. Prabhannam pahima misha. Why? Bhidam mrtyu graharnaval. Death is there and don't be... I am frightened about death. And Krishna knows this, that we are all frightened of death. Even a small bird, if you try to catch him, it is frightened about the death. Rabbits, any animals, if you look at them, they are all frightened about... This material body means it is a part of that, this fear of death. So all this is Sharira Tapas, what he is talking about, this verse. Devam, Dvijam, Guru, Prajna, Pujanam, Shaujam, Arjavam. Right? So, Sometimes in the matham, what they will say is this, that children who are come to study Vedam there, these children, they'll have a lot of enthusiasm. When they're children, isn't it? They have a lot of enthusiasm. So originally they were not allowed to cook in the kitchen. But when they were allowed to cook in the kitchen, they became very serious. They feel some responsibility has been given to them. You'll see their enthusiasm at that time to do things, right? In them days, olden days, there was no electric cooker, gas stove and all that. Yeah. So imagine cooking with all the wood, right? And it was not easy in them days. The cooking was not easy. And these sannyasis and the brahmanas, what they used to do was that they will not eat anything outside, first thing. They were very particular about it. Either it is cooked by these brahmachari boys, they will eat that happily. Or they will cook themselves. They won't allow anybody else. They were so particular about that nishtha, I'm saying, that steadiness in them, acharam. They won't want to eat somebody's food and then they feel contaminated with that. So what they used to do, in them days, this flask was available. The flask has been there for quite a while now. I think during the World War or something, this flask was invented. Yeah. Yeah. So the flask was invented. So what they used to do was, they'll put very hot water into the flask. And they will put some rice into it. And they'll put some lentils also into it. And they'll close it. And they'll carry this flask with them. And then they'll keep walking from one temple to another temple. By the time they get to the next place where they're going to be, this whole thing will be cooked inside the flask in the hot water. Both dal and the rice. Dal and the rice will be cooked and that's their next meal. And this is how they were. Particular about these things. Yeah. So, 4 or 5 hours they will walk after they had their food, right? And by the time they get to the destination, this will all be cooked and ready to eat, right? That was their technique of dealing with the food problem they have solved. Not going to restaurants or eating outside. They will not do that. They will never do that, right? And so unfortunately, all those things have gone now. People also don't know how to cook even food. Everything is, what is that, Deliveroo or Uber delivers everything, isn't it? So, and gradually our body also becomes useless, not able to do anything. So Krishna is saying here, all these things, deva, dija, guru, prajna, pujanam, all this has to be done with the body, right? Just like when you do Shraddha ceremony, Brahmana Puja is there, Guru Seva is there, Kaingariyam, Prajna Puja. In other words, what knowledgeable people say to us, those who have studied Vedam, Shastram, everything, what they have told us that this system existed, even their timings, right? They should always be respected. Who have studied Vedam, who have studied Shastram, and they should be taken care of under any circumstances, right? Now, what happened was, during the COVID time, when COVID happened, right, all spiritual activities came to a dead stop. People won't go to the temple. Bhagavata Saptaham, everything came to a stop. Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam, Saptaham were happening all the time. Otherwise, in the temples, it always happens. So, and they were versed in the Vedam and they did Saptaham for others. But when this COVID happened, nobody was there to look after them, right? But what do they do then? They are not in pension or nobody is there to maintain them, right? So people started thinking, we don't need them really. This is the nature of the people. They think that these are people for entertainment. That's how people start. You know how people are. Because day by day, when they become disconnected with the spiritual culture, we become like that. We start thinking, everything you are looking through, money. And you are saying, what do you need these people for? They were entertaining us all these years. Now we don't need them for entertainment. This is how people are, right? So, So knowing all these things, what was happening, many people, they took rice, dal, everything, and brought it to them to give it to them at the home, so that they could get through that difficult period of COVID, right? And some people have gave cash also. All that is called Prajna Puja. So that's what that word Prajna means. You see, Deva, Dvija, Guru, Prajna. Prajna means those who are versed in the Vedam, studied the Vedam, and those who are living in this world for teaching others the knowledge of the Vedam, Vedic knowledge, through Bhagavadam, Bhagavad Gita and all that. Such people, they should be worshipped, Krishna says. Deva, Dvija, Guru, Prajna. All of them should be worshipped. Right? So, Krishna is saying here, all of them as tapas. This is all tapas, right? Somehow or the other, the wealth in your hand, let it be used for some purpose, instead of keeping it in the treasury. So, that's what he is saying here. Somehow or the other, go and see them, and whichever way possible, do the seva. These four categories, Deva, Dvija, Guru, Prajna. Right? And that thought should come inside to do that seva. And because we have got this body, and this is Prajna Pujanam. Prajna Pujanam means looking after those people who are doing this. We should not look everything through the money. Then we will not understand this science, what Krishna is talking about. Right? And then Krishna is saying, Shaujam. Deva Dvija Guru Prajna Pujanam first. Then Shaujam, Krishna is saying that. Shaujam means, this is also good to know this, what Krishna refers to all this. Shaujam means, Krishna says it's a tapasa. Shaujam, bathing, it's a tapasa, he's saying. Why is that? Traditionally, three times they bathe. Morning, midday and in the evening, right? In the olden days, if they didn't have an opportunity to go inside the water completely, they won't bathe. You should go completely underneath the water and come up. You've seen them, how they do this. Go underneath the water and come up, right? So, but now we are cannot do that. We are in the bathroom. So, but Krishna's point is that it has to be a Bhagavad Aradhana. Basically what that means is, it's a meditation. While doing the Shaujam, right, water has a strong connection with the mind. Jalam, water, has a strong connection with the mind. They are very closely connected. And that is the reason, when you do Pitrakarmam or Devakarmam, everywhere we are using water for that. You've seen, first you, with the water, you clean your hands, and then water is offered to that. There is a connection between the mind and the water. Similarly, when you do Pitrakarmam also, forefathers, when they led Shraddham and all that, there is water used in that as well, right? So that is a aushadha vidya, right? Similarly, you see in the temples, they give you tirtham, isn't it? You take charanamrutam, normally, of course charanamrutam is made in a different way in different temples, but tirtham, it is basically a water content that matters there, right? So similarly, after the worship, the pujari sprinkles the tirtham on you. Why is that? All this is done to create bhakti in the heart. So mind and tirtham, water, has a strong connection. We won't know that. Rishis know that. That is why they are doing this, right? So it is from that this sampradayam has come. And similarly, receiving tirtham from great personalities, that's a good fortune, right? That's the sampradayam. So similarly, you will also notice that water is kept in the water and then you chant the japam on that. And that water collects the purity of the mantram into the water. Water can collect that strength from the mantram, right? And with that mantram, then you bathe in the river, right? Then you are worshipping you are performing abhishekam to the deity with the water, is it not? So, and while doing the abhishekam, the water is supposed to be purified by chanting the holy name. In the same way, them days, olden days, while they are bathing, they will recite a Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, and verses like that. While bathing, they'll be reciting the verses. And Or some of them, they will recite the Veda Mantram, what they have studied, right? It is supposed to be like that, one is supposed to bathe. Whereas we are looking at all the shampoos, what our beautiful bathroom has got. So where are we and where are they? Imagine that, right? So while pouring the water on the head, we are supposed to worship. There is Akamarshana Mantram for that, for worshipping that, right? And this samskaram, this culture, was existing for a long period of time. You will remember this in Vivekananda's childhood, that his mother used to pour the water on his head, chanting the names of Lord Shiva, because they were devotees of Shiva. So mother used to offer the water, pour the water on the head, and used to chant Shiva Shiva like that. Sorry, we got a little late. Continue after a few minutes. Chedo darpanam arjanam vamaha davagni nirvapanam shreyaka idava chandriya vidaranam vidyavadho jivanam anandam budhi vardhanam pradipada purnamradaswadhanam sarvatna subhanam varam vijayate shri krishna sankirtanam nam namakari bahuda nija sarva shakti tatrarpida nemida smaranena kala Edadrishi tava kripa bhagavan mamabhi durdaivami drishamiha janinanuragaha trinarabhi shunichena tarorabhi sahishnuna amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari nathanam na janam na sundarim kavidamba jagadisha kamai mama janmani janmani shwari bhavadal bhaktirahai dogitvai Ayi nandatanuja kinkaram patidamam shami bhavambudav kruvaya tava pada pangajastita dholi sadrasham vichintaya nayanam galada shudharaya vatanam gadgadarukta akira pulagair nichitam kadabhavo tavannam grahane bhavishyadi yuga idam nimeshena chakshusha pravishayidam shunyayidam jagal sarvam govinda virahename ashlishyava padaradam pineshtumam Adarshanam or Mahadam Karyotuva Yathatadava Vidadadulam Pato Malprananatha Sunayevana Para Sarvatra Govindanam Sankirtanam Govinda Govindam Devad Vijaguru Pratyam Pujanam Shauchamar Javam Brahmacharya Mahim Saja Shariram Tapa Uchyade So we are discussing about the Sharira Tapasa. Isn't it? Body. And as I mentioned before, that the snanam is sharira tapasitis, snanam, bathing, right? Snanam while chanting the Veda mantram, Akamarshana mantram for that. If not, at least the holy name, or reciting verses from Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavadam, all that, right? That is a meditation. That way, if you do that, every part of the body gets purified. That is why you will see that, purifying while doing the deity worship. Ganga, Yamuna, Chaiva, Godavari, Saraswati, Narmade, Sindhu, Kaveri, Jalesmin, Sanithim, Kuru, saying that, invoking the presence of all those rivers into the water, and which you are using it for your achamanam and worship, all that. Yeah, so, even though you may not be able to go to Ganga River and bathe, while chanting this mantram, it is understood that the water becomes Ganga's water. Mahalmas, when they bathe in the river, and when Mahalmas bathe in the river, you will notice this. Other people also go and bathe in the river at the same time when they are bathing in the river. And that is what is called Avabhradasnanam. Avabhradasnanam means when any great personality, when they go and bathe in a river, you go along with them, because when they are in the water, their presence is felt in the water. That water has been purified because of their presence in the water. Like when Bhagavata Saptaham and all completed, they go into a nearby river with the deity and they all bathe all together in the river, and then they come back after the Avabhradasnanam. This is not possible in the city. Where will you go? This is all possible in the villages, because there they have the facility for all these things, right? So, Shaucham, Dharmashastram says that. He is saying that Pujanam Shaucham. Shaucham. Arjavam means that straightforwardness. Straightforwardness in life, right? And everything should be straightforward. With the way we acquire wealth, our lifestyle, everything should be straightforward, right? Arjuna got that name because of this. He's a very straightforward person. That's why it's called Arjuna. Then the next one is Brahmacharyam. Krishna is talking about Brahmacharyam. Brahmacharyam is a physical thing. That means the knowledge in the of purpose of the spiritual knowledge. When the mind is in the Brahmam, it is Brahmacharyam. Mind is going towards Brahmam Charadi, it is Brahmachari. Brahmachari, right? Here it is talking about the austerities of the body. Whether you are a householder or whether you are a brahmachari, for both of them, brahmacharyam is spoken by the shastram. Right? For brahmachari, the brahmacharyam is very restrict, strictly, very rigid it is for him. Grahastha also has brahmacharyam, brahmacharyam required, right? And it is little different from the brahmachari. That is also grahastha is also a brahmachari, but the injunctions for brahmachari life for a grahastha is different than a brahmachari. So, the idea behind all these things is this, that the knowledge, spiritual knowledge should remain inside, and unnecessarily chittavritti should not develop within. So to prevent that chittavritti building up, for chitta shuddhi purposes, these instructions, brahmacharyam life, right? And similarly, not to lose the tejas, the strength inside, paurusham, that strength also. So to protect that, it is for that purpose, this brahmachari life. And in order to maintain that, the lifestyle should be such, in order to bring that discipline in individual life. So as much as possible, this brahmachari lifestyle should come to a person, as much as possible, right? And for doing that, sadhana is considered to be a great tapasya. It's a great tapasya, right? What Shastram says is, good brahmacharis won't get sick. And that is why Anjaneya Swami was given such a position, because of his brahmachari life. Right? Then he talks about ahimsa. Ahimsa means not to be violent towards anyone. If envy comes inside, it will turn into violence. Ahimsa. Patanjali says like that. Patanjali says, one becomes very violent because of envy inside. Asuya or envy, asuya rahityam, Patanjali says like that. And for example, he gives examples for that. A nice mango tree during the season, first it flowers, right? And then the flowers turns into mangoes. That's how normally it is, right? So, a great personality came and he saw this mango tree. And he looked at that mango tree and he said, oh, what a beautiful mango tree. And all the flowers have come out. In a few hours, all the flowers in the mango tree has dropped from the mango tree. Right? So that is a kind of siddhis, what they acquire. Some of the yogis have that power. It is enough. That means what has happened now is, he has just looked with his eyes and he said something, and the whole mango tree has become without any mangoes. I mean, so flowers have dropped means all the mangoes won't be there. Just like normally, when the mango tree flowers first, there will be plenty of flowers, right? A lot of them will fall away, but a lot of them will turn out to be mangoes later. But here, when this particular person, we looked at the mango tree and said, oh, the tree is full of flowers, the whole tree is all mango, all the flowers fallen off, right? So that is considered to be violence, himsa it is. So, strictly speaking, if within our mind itself, if you think about someone in the negative way, that's considered to be violence. What to talk about doing something to them. So, there are certain mantram in the Vedam, how to be violent towards others with the mind itself. Right? Ahimsa paramo dharma. So, if we have reached that stage of not hurting anyone, that means 100% in ahimsa, then no other living entity will have a negative attitude towards us. All living entities will be favorable, right? And that is why Patanjali is saying in this Yoga Sutram that ahimsa pradijayam tad sannidho vairam tyagaha, he says. One of the sutram in the Patanjali's Yoga Sutram. Ahimsa pradishtayam tad sannidho vaira tyagaha means that if you are established in the ahimsa, then in your presence, vairam won't be there, enmity won't be there. Vairam tyagaha, he says there. So this vaira buddhi, enmity, friend, all these things, even the animals will lose that enmity towards us, right? Nobody will feel any hate or anger towards us. In a natural way, shanti will come. So therefore, he says that not to be violent towards anyone. Then Gandhiji's time, if you look. Gandhiji was a very strong proponent of ahimsa, violence, right? And he had to deal with the people from Afghanistan. And that was a difficult job. Pathans they are, right? Very strong and strongly built and very violent as well. So, and they carried weapons with them all the time, guns and other things. Remember at that time, this is before independence, Afghanistan was also, a lot of it was part of the Indian subcontinent as they were calling it, right? So, many people advised Gandhiji, don't go there because they are very violent and they can kill you. They want him like that. Their approach is, if you do anything, eye for eye and tooth for a tooth, like they say. That's not that. So, they're basically fighters. They like to fight, always. It's very difficult to change that nature in them. So, Gandhiji told them that, I am also a fighter, Gandhiji says to them, right? Warrior. I will teach them how to fight without a weapon, he said. And Gandhiji goes there, right? So, they all came and they all had the guns in their hand. Even now, it's more or less the same thing. They all got their guns in the hand, right? Gandhiji, when they allowed him to speak, he spoke to them. He told them that, are you so cowards, he said to them, right? Nobody has asked them this question before. He says to them, look at this, he said, that I have come to you without any weapon in the hand. And what's your courage? You're standing here with the guns in the hand to shoot. Are you so frightened about others? Right. So, they got the message from Gandhiji when he said that. They realized that if you don't have any fear, then you don't need any weapons. When you are fearful of someone, that's when you need the weapons, right? So, there was one person among them, he followed Gandhiji later on. He died now, Khan Abdul Ghaffar Khan. He was called Frontier Gandhi at that time. Frontier Gandhi, he was called. He was a follower of Gandhiji, right? So, he was a leader. And in 1 minute, this change happened to him after listening to Gandhiji. So, that is that strength of ahimsa inside, right? Ahimsa is a power. Not to give violence and not to give pain to anybody, and that is, Krishna says, it's a tapasya. And this ahimsa is the main vow for sannyasam. Sannyasam means that you will not give any violence towards any living entity. Remember Jadabharata, when he was walking, when he was carrying the palanquin, he was looking at the ground, if there is any living entity there, only then he will put the next step. That story is there in the Bhagavatam, right? Abhayam sarvabhudebhya. So, from me, no other person should feel any fear from me. This is sannyasam, right? And that is why during the Chadurmasyam time, 4 months, they don't travel anywhere, because at that time living entities comes out freely from their holes or caves, whatever it is, right? So not to give any pain to anybody, therefore they stay in their ashrams or in a temple or somewhere. Chadurmasyam comes from this, the Chadurmasyam system, right? For Jains also, this Ahimsa is very important. For the Jains, they follow that very strictly, right? So that is, Krishna is saying, is a tapasya. And all with the body, right? So till now, Krishna has spoken about the tapasya with the body. And in the next verse, Krishna is going to talk about the tapasya with the words. With the words, right? And that is what... So, this ahangaram or abhimanam, bodily abhimanam, dehabhimanam, right? And getting rid of that from inside. That knowledge which takes away the ego, ahangaram from inside, that is not a tapasya with the body, it's a tapasya with the mind, right? It's a tapasya of the knowledge. And at that moment, the body itself goes away. Here, you will see that the these words here, Krishna is going to talk about this, that anudvegakaram vakyam. Anudvegakaram vakyam satyam priyahitam chayat. Swadhyaya abhyasanam chaiva vangmayam tava uchyate. Krishna's tapasya with the words, right? Vachikam. Vachikam means with the words, tapasya. Anudvegakaram vakyam satyam priyahitam chayat swadhyaya abhyasanam chaiva vangmayam tava uchyate. What does this mean? Anudvegakaram means that Praninam adukhakaram vakyam satyam prehidam chayat prehide drishta drishtate anudyoga karatvadibi dharmehi vakyam visheshyade visheshena dharma samuchayataha shabdaha paraprathyayanartam prayuktasya vakyasya satya priyanam anudyoga karatvanam anyadamena vadyam tribi vahina dasyal edinatad vangmayam tapa. Anudyoga karam means that the words what we speak should not create any distress in somebody's mind. Such a way to speak. Other person, when he hears your words, he should not feel any distress inside. That's what it means, this anudvegakaram means, right? And the word should be pleasing to other person. When sometimes what happens, when you speak the truth, it may not be, you can see the impact on the other person. Sometimes people will hear and they will get sometimes affected by what you have said, right? So, when you speak the truth or when you speak priyam, it is two different things. Satyam priyahidam chayat. Satyam, when you speak, it may not be very priyam. But you have to speak the satyam in a priyam way. That is a difficult thing. Suppose you are saying to say something to somebody, you have to say the things in such a way that it does not create any negative feelings in his mind. Krishna is saying you have to learn that, how to do that. Some people, they just bluntly say, and they'll say, I'm just telling you what I think and I understand, he said. Openly they'll say, but the other person gets hurt by that. Yeah. So that's what he's saying here. Anudvegakaram vakyam satyam priyahitam chayat. Right? And when you say in priyam, when you say with priyam, the feelings that comes in the other person, you may not be able to notice it. It is satyam, but because it's spoken with priyam, the other person's impact on the other person, you may not be able to notice that. Right? So, So, speaking satyam with priyam is what that word means. Anudvegakaram vakyam means. Anudvegakaram vakyam satyam priyahidam chayat. So what Krishna is saying is, whatever you speak, it should not create udvegam. Udvegam means this anxiety in another person's mind about anything. In such a way you have to speak. Satyam priyahidam chayat, right? Swadhyaya abhyasanam chaiva vangmayam tava uchyate. So, in the 18th chapter, when we discussed this, there was a verse when Krishna said the same thing in a different way. Adhishtanam tatha karta karanam cha pradakvidam vividasya pradakshyashta devam chaivatra panchamam. That is the 14th verse in the 18th chapter, where Krishna discussed this at that time also. He is saying here, it's a very subtle topic this is. This one is a very subtle topic. Krishna is saying there, adhishtanam tada karta karanam cha pradakvidam vividasya pradakcheshta devam chaivatra panchamam. Tapasya, why do we do tapasya? Tapasya is for this purpose, to eliminate the body from us. Body is in us now, so strongly gripping us whole time, isn't it? How to release this body from us? To relinquish the body with knowledge, full knowledge. I don't want this body, body is not me. I just want to become free from this grip of this body. So relinquishing that body. So in all paramparas, there is a physical discipline and a spiritual practice for this. To become free from the body. Everybody does that in one way or the other. Goswamis did in one way. Acharyas did in another way. But all the great personalities, you will notice this. Constantly they are endeavoring to become free from the body. And whatever sadhana required for keeping the body out of us. Becoming free from the body, right? It is for that purpose only. The circumambulation of Govardhana Hill and all that, walking 24 kilometers or 22 kilometers. What, for what purpose? The idea is that you are giving some austerity for the body so that you don't feel that it is done through bhakti. Of course, with Govardhanam, same thing with Arunachalam also, it's done with bhakti. So to develop that detachment from the body, through different kinds of spiritual practices, right? So, and if you do that, the circumambulation like that, one or two times do that, then it becomes your swabhavam. You become habituated to that. And there are people who are doing pradakshina of Govardhana Hill all the time, isn't it? All special occasions, some people were doing it even regularly, they were doing that, right? And some people do shayana pradakshinam, lying down on the body, rolling on the ground. They do the pradakshinam, right? So, we have to understand why, where this is all coming from. It is for this purpose. Sharirya tapasitis. That deliberately you are practicing an austerity with the body, right? Some people do it on the Purnami day, when the moon is shining, it is much easier to walk, cool at night. At the same time there is moonshine, so they make the circumambulation of Govardhanam at that time. In the same way, so that is also another tapasya. Ekadashi is another tapasya. Right? That is all physical, right? Without eating anything for a whole day, or eating some fruits or something like that, whatever way it's possible. This is all for bhakti sadhana. So part of this bhakti sadhana. Otherwise, people think, oh, if I don't follow Ekadashi, Krishna will get upset. Krishna won't get upset with you. Ekadashi, you are following your own spiritual benefit. Krishna won't be angry with you if you didn't follow Ekadashi. Actually, what's happening is, Ekadashi is another, the sharira tapasitis, to keep the body under control, right? So, controlling the eating habits, dhyanam, meditation, japam, reading Srimad Bhagavatam, all these things, right? And in the same way, next one he's saying there, the words are tapasya. Why is that? So, the word is actually Krishna himself, what we speak, right? And we have to, it is a fire, the Agni inside, because words are spoken from the Parapashandi Madhyama Vaikari. You remember that four levels of speech. So word, where is it coming from? Coming from Andaryami, from Para, from the lowest point, it is coming from there, right? So therefore words are important, how to use the words. And due to words only, you lose a lot of energy while speaking, right? So, and you can see Sri Narada Maharshi talking about that. Tapaswadhyaya niradam pariprasnam munipungava. Among the many people, rishis, one who has known the power of the words is Sri Narada Maharshi. Narada Maharshi, right? So Narada Maharshi has touched the very subtle side of the words. Subtle side of the words, right? You will see that in the 17th, in this 15th chapter. Anudvega karam vakyam satyam prehidam chayad swadhyaya abhyasanam chayva vangmayam tapa uchyade. You can see this in the Chandokya Upanishad. This is discussed, right? What it's saying there is that these four stages, Parapashyanti, Madhyama, Vaikari, they are all different aspects of the word, sound, right? When you speak a word, in your mind, you have different doubts about things. You also have Vishaya vasana inside us, our vasanas are there. If you have all those things inside, doubts, vasanas, these things, then that word what you speak is considered to be very inferior. When you speak words, if there is a lot of vasana behind it and a lot of doubts about what you are saying, then what has been spoken, that words are considered to be very poor quality, right? So while speaking without your knowledge, all these things will come out. Without our knowledge, it will happen while speaking, right? Therefore, they are saying that you should use the words very carefully, what you speak, when you speak. As much as possible, better to be silent, maunam, right? And rishis were very particular about this, that they preferred silence rather than speaking. Because while speaking, some fault will happen automatically. And sometimes, you know, when some of these good speakers in Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita and all, what they do, after they had spoken Bhagavad Gita for Bhagavatam for 7 or 10 days, they will go and remain alone in silence. After speaking for, sometimes this Saptaham and all, they will have to continuously, one after the other will be there. But when it is over, they'll go home and they will seriously observe this silence. They won't speak to anybody. If they want something, they'll write it and give it. They won't speak, controlling the tongue, right? So, when what they are saying is that when you speak 7 days from morning to evening, you get ultimately, you will lose the control yourself. So to bring you back that control on the silence, then they realize that they have spoken certain things, even in the Saptaham, sometimes they would have said something which they didn't want to say, but it has come out from inside without their knowledge. So they feel guilty about it. And for that, as an austerity, they go back and they stay in silence for 10 days or 15 days like that. Yeah, everybody does that. All the good speakers in the Bhagavatam does that. Without your knowledge, they you won't know that they are in silence for a few days. They do that, right? So, and you can see this, that in our inside us, we will get a lot of different thoughts, right? And suppose, imagine if you have said all these things in the world, how much problem it would have created, right? And you will know that. So that's what he's saying, udvegam. Udvegam. Udvegam means that it's a vishayam that happens inside our mind. And therefore, not to speak such words. Only speak those things which are actually allowed, which does not, vikshepam, which creates, should not be spoken. It should be spoken priyam, hitam. And And for that purpose, what they do is, on a regular basis, Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, Vedam, Upanishads and all, that on a daily basis they will read, on a daily basis, right? So, and that is what is called Swadhyayam. You see that, Krishna said that? Swadhyaya Abhyasanam Chaiva. So, in order to get these words under control, what we speak, Anudvegaram Vakyam, which should be Satyam Priyahitam Chayat, to develop that habit, Swadhyaya Abhyasanam. One should practice Swadhyayam. People ask this question, I can't read the verses in the Bhagavad Gita or Bhagavatam. I'm not familiar with the language. What should I do? I should read only the translation purport. No. You should read the verses under any circumstance. Maybe mistake will happen, but gradually you improve yourself. But verses are important. Translation is purport is not the important one. Verses are more important. Right? So, that abhyasanam, that's what he's saying here. Swadhyaya abhyasanam chaiva. Swadhyaya means that reading the verses. You can't ignore the verses. You see, in Bhagavata Saptaham and all, the parayanam or reading the verses is more important. Many people come just to hear, because if somebody is reading Bhagavatam properly, without any mistake in the verses, hearing that is itself purifying. Just hearing the verses is purifying, because it is Sugha Brahma Rishi's words, it is Vedavyasa Maharshi's words, it is Krishna's words, what you are hearing. So that itself has got the potency to purify us. You shouldn't think, I have not learned Sanskrit, so I can't listen to it. That's wrong approach. That's wrong. You have to know the value of those verses. It is spoken by Krishna himself, Ekadasha Skanda particularly. Bhagavad Gita, same thing. Vedavyasa Maharshi compiled it. So even if you don't understand, if you just hear those words, what they have spoken, that itself is purifying. That's what Swadhyayam means. Swadhyayam is a part of spiritual life. Our problem is that we think that everything should be understood with the intelligence. Intelligence, you throw it away. It has no value at all in spiritual life. This intelligence thing has taken over everything. And therefore, we have lost this habit of understanding the rishis properly. Rishis didn't give any value to your intelligence. They don't consider your intelligence is a big thing. And we are used to thinking everything, intelligence I have to understand. Only what my intelligence can accept, I will accept it. No, that's finished there. That you have to leave it behind. Right? So that is what he is saying here. Anudvegaram Vakyam. So therefore, when you go and visit older people in the past, suppose you knew somebody, you go and visit to them, what they will do? They will take Bhagavad Gita or Srimad Bhagavatam or Narayaniyam, whatever it is, and they will recite that for you. They don't want to talk to you about your family problems and about your material activities. They will just read out something from the Bhagavatam or Bhagavad Gita. Maha, great personalities, that's what they did, right? Either they will talk about Krishna's, or otherwise they will read out something from one of these famous literatures, Bhagavad Gita or Srimad Bhagavatam. And people who have come to see them, they will listen to it and then they will go. And most probably they will not come back again. Because the people who are coming there want to discuss all their problems of life or politics or things like that. So they won't give you an opportunity for that. They will read from Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam or something like that, Upanishads. And once you go, then they will say that I cannot visit anymore. They will not come back again. That was the benefit of that, right? So that's one way of getting rid of such people who are coming to waste your time, right? In the Bhagavatam, you see that in the 10th canto, the Nalakavera and Manigriva said this, is it not? He said to Krishna that after Krishna released them from their tree, bondage due to the tree, what they said to them was that Vani Kunanu Kathane Shravanam Kathayam Hastaujakarma Sumanastava Padayorna Smrityam Shirastava Nivasa Jagal Pranami Drishtisadam Darshanestu Bhaval Tanunam Vani Kunanu Kathane Shravanam Kathayam Hastaujakarma Sumanastava Padayorna Smrityam Shirastava Nivasa Jagal Pranami Drishtisadam Darshanestu Bhaval Tanunam. That is what Nalakovera and Manigriva told Krishna, right? So what did they say? They say, words are for glorifying Krishna. Anudvegaram vakyam, hidam priyam, that's all swadhyayam. That word swadhyayam refers to all these things, right? So in this way, regularly reading Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam is swadhyaya pravachanam eva tapaha. That is a tapas, right? Studying oneself, reading and talking about it to others. Mahalpas, if you look, you will notice one thing. They will always carry with them something. Either a Bhagavad Gita or a Bhagavatam, a copy, book, they will keep it with them when they travel, right? And they will keep looking at it all the time, right? And even those who have trained in the Vedam, who have recited and studied Vedam very well, they will keep one of these books in the hand, either Bhagavad Gita or Bhagavatam or Narayani, whatever books they are attached, Ramayanam, all these things. If we don't do that, what will happen is the drishti, attention will go to something else in order to avoid that. So they'll keep looking at it. You can see that when some people, when you go and visit them, they're not reading anything seriously. They'll keep the book open and they'll be looking at it. Simply looking at it. Old age, at sitting at home, right? That swadhyayam is an important thing. And that's what Krishna is saying. So Deva Puja and all that, Namaskaram, then Swadhyayam. And Swadhyayam, especially, you will notice in the old temples, old people will go there, sit there, and read one or two chapters from Bhagavad Gita, or from Bhagavatam, just the verses, to please Krishna. Or those who are scholars in the Vedam, they will sit there and recite the Vedam. Krishna loves Vedam. Hearing Vedam is the best way to please Krishna. So that is why they have that system that Brahmana sits there in front of Krishna and simply recite the Vedam to please him, right? Brahmayajnam. So, and they have a prescribed format for that. A certain amount of Vedam is very big. So many verses, isn't it? So many suktams. So to recite all the suktams is not possible every day. So they have a system whereby a certain amount of suktam will be recited on that particular day. That's the system existing, right? That is a tapas. So, on a daily basis, right? So these things, what Krishna has spoken, are engagement which can be done, spiritual engagement, in other words, right? And it's also a kind of meditation. So important thing from this is, when we speak, if it is creating a vikalpa means a distraction or destruction or a kind of anxiety in somebody's mind, it should not be spoken. And it should not be spoken, right? But normally people's nature is to speak such things so that it disturbs somebody's mind in such a way. And they will say like, "Oh, haven't you heard that?" They will start like this. The idea behind that is to create another person's anxiety in his mind, right? In other words, what that means is it's not good to listen to that, right? People ask, "Have you got the news?" People ask like that, isn't it? "Have you got any news?" And so good things, if happening in the world, nobody will talk about it. But war, fighting, killing each other, or all kinds of violences, people like to discuss it. It's a human tendency, it's like that, right? Similarly, when this corona came, people were asking how many people died in each country. They were very particular about looking into the report to see and looking at it, how many people died in each country, and some kind of happiness, feeling of satisfaction from that. So, and then talking about it to others, so many people died in this place, so many people died in that place. So many people died in this war, so many people died in that war, this happened, that happened. All kinds of disturbing news, constantly reporting, right? So there is nothing coming out of that, reporting this and discussing this, right? So what actually does is, through words, you are hurting someone. In other words, it is creating ragadvesham inside us, such reporting. That is why this media is particularly bad in these things, bringing out all kinds of news and pumping into the people's mind and creating ragadvesham in them. When you hear these things few times, naturally your mind will say that he is right and he is wrong. Ragadvesham has come automatically there, isn't it? So constantly creating ragadvesham in people's mind, right? So that's what he is saying here, that you know, in Ayurveda what they do? A physician should not say to the patient that he has got the disease. He has to speak in such a way that the patient should be put into relaxed situation. Even though the patient, the physician knows that he is sick, he has to deal with him in such a way as though he is healthy. Even if he knows that, as much as possible, not to talk about the disease with him. As much as possible, you console him by your words. That is the secret behind that. They will say, your soul, not this body. In that way, there is so many verses in the Upanishads, what should be spoken to others. Bedram karne mishruniyama devaha. In the Upanishad you will see this. Bedram pashyemi jaitraha. So what he is saying is that whatever I hear, whatever I see whatever I hear with my ears, let that be all auspicious things I hear. And whatever I see, let that all be auspicious things, right? So always you should tell others, be in a positive way. Not to create ragadvesham and to keep everything in a positive way, right? So that way the word's speech has to be trained, and the body also. If that is the case, then shanti will come, Krishna is saying here. Hanuman went to Lanka, right? And he sat on the top of the tree. And Sita Devi was at the bottom of the tree sitting there. All the Rakshasis were around her. And now Hanuman was thinking, what should I say to Sita Devi? Hanuman searched everywhere, finally found out in Ashokavaniga, underneath the Shimshaba tree, Sita Devi was sitting there. So Hanuman didn't go straight away to Sita Devi. He sat on the top of the tree. And he was thinking that if I say, directly approach Sita Devi, she may get doubtful about me. She may not know who I am. And suppose she creates some misunderstanding about me, that is not a good thing. So what did he do? First of all, he wanted to make sure that Sita Devi understands him, who he is. Right? So, so he started sitting there on the top of the tree. He started talking about the story of Ramachandra. Ramakatha, Sri Ramakatha. He started talking from the branch of the tree where he was sitting. Sita Devi heard that. And then Sita Devi started thinking, somebody is talking about Ramachandra like that. Must be someone who knows Ramachandra very well. And that is when Hanuman comes down and speaks to Sita Devi later. Right? So after seeing Sita Devi, when Hanuman came back, all the other Vanaras, they were waiting for him. They were waiting for him. Right? And many of them asked him, what happened to your visit to Lanka, right? If you ask like that, normally if you will see like this, that you comes back and hearing that you have sent somebody, one who is not very well, you have sent someone to visit someone, and comes back, you will ask, how was it? How did your visit go? He will say, oh, what can I say? He says. So, and he will say some, report you back something, and it will create tension in your mind, right? So this news, what we have these days, it only creates what Krishna calls it as udvegam. Udvegam. That is a problem with this news. Udvegam, right? And it does all the time, right? It does all the time. Corona came, and everyone was under anxiety, wasn't it? People were dying everywhere, one after the other. And that is what is called Udvegam, right? So, here Krishna is saying, words have got its power, jivasa. Life is there in the words, right? Anudvegaram vakyam. And it has got a lot of meaning to it. Vajo arthanu dhavadi. In other words, rishis gave so much importance to the speech. So much importance to the speech. Whatever they spoke, the result will follow their words. That's what it means. Vajo arthanu dhavadi. What they speak, its effect will follow the words. If they have spoken something good, good thing will happen. That is the power of the words. That is the beauty of the words, right? So, suppose if they say to someone, you be happy in life, you will become happy. That was the power in their words, right? So, or if they say to you, they bless you with something, you will be blessed. This is an important thing. The rishi's power is Krishna is talking about here. That they were able to say something and it happens all the time, whatever they have spoken. That's why importance, blessings and all. You go to Mahalmas and ask for blessings. Because you believe that if they bless you, it will happen. Not anybody, everybody, but only the Mahalmas, great personalities, right? So, and that is why people will say, give me Ashirwad, they'll say. Give me blessings, they'll say. As though it's a very cheap thing to be given in the market. It's not like that. This is for applicable to people who have studied the Vedam and who have got this Nitya Anushtanam, daily Anushtanam, and those Brahmanas who have done the, if they have performed some karmam, and after that you ask for the blessings from them, Ashirwadam, right? So, Uttama Brahmana, first class Brahmana, they have this desire to bless people in that way. he is not blessing on his own. Instead, Vedam, because he has studied Vedam, and he, because of the Veda Mandram, he is using in blessing. And it has its effect, separately. It has its own effect. Yeah? So that is also a tapasya, because it is coming from the Vedam, Veda Vakyam. So that's what he is saying there. Anudvegaram Vakyam Satyam Priyahidam Chayat Swadhyay Abhyasanam Chaiva Vangmayam Tapa Uchyate Vangmayam. Word gets stronger. You know why they study Vedam with all this effort? Because to purify their speech. After you have studied Vedam, if you have studied Vedam properly, whatever you speak, nothing can go wrong. Nothing can go wrong. And there are people like that, who have studied Vedam 8, 10, 12, 14 years in the Vedam, and they have practiced it, and not one wrong word will come from their mouth. Not one wrong word. And you will be amazed to see that strength inside. That how are they so tolerant in this world, able to live like this. That's coming from the Vedam. That is the reason Veda Dhyayanam is so important for them who have gone in that, come up in that tradition, right? So I think we'll stop here today. We'll continue Saturday. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.